B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block! Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocks the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Happy football Friday across the Delaware Valley. And you know why it was funny? I was thinking about this and I was getting excited for the game. And yeah, I know. I mean, look, it is what it is, right? Obviously, they're big on their dog, and obviously that it's going to be a tough game to win. And we'll see if they can pull off a game plan, and we'll dive into things that they should do. I got my thoughts on what needs to happen. So that's all good. But you know what I was kind of excited for? I was kind of excited for the fans and having fans back. As little as they are, as small as the grouping is, I was excited to have, because one of the things, I will say this, that is so unique, and football, you miss it, I think, the most. I mean, like, to me, all sports, the fans, the crowd, it just adds the electricity and October baseball and hoops in the arena and the enemy arena and doing that hockey. And even though home ice isn't what it used to be or whatever they want to say, or home court, it's still great. But football is probably the best, right? Football is the best. And then I think about Eagles fans at the game. And I start to smile because they're the greatest. They're the absolute greatest. I love when they go, when they get nuts and they're crazy. And I love it. And I'm excited. So I'm excited just to see, just to hear the smattering of the like, I dig that. And I'm excited for that whole deal. And I want to talk today about those Eagles fans. And it's like kind of a salute to the Eagles fans today. And if you're going to the game, please let us know. I want to hear from you. I want to be out, I hear how loud you're going to be, because I just think it's going to add to it a little bit. As far as the game's concerned, all right, well, let's see. Like, to me, there's no expectations of a win. Zero, right? Everyone expects them to lose. Okay, so you start from there. And if you're Doug Peterson and Jim Schwartz, it's up to you to prove your mettle, right? Because to me, this is a complete coach's game on both sides of the ball. You're going up against a team that's better than you, that on both sides of the ball, right? Advantage Ravens. Ravens offense versus Eagles defense. Advantage Ravens. Ravens defense versus Eagle offense. So I put all the onus on the coaches and the game plan. All right? Let's see. And I'm willing to suspend disbelief for both the coaches. Right? Listen, I think Baltimore's a well coached. I'm a big hardball man. Always have been. John is a sharp guy. He's got a great coaching staff. They got a terrific team. Well, all right, let me see what you got, Doug. We went through it earlier in the week. His scripts have not turned out great early in the game. Started out good this season against Washington. First two drives resulted in a touchdown. And then after that, it's been downhill. And the last 2 weeks, the first drives have been three and outs. I need a real script. He's got to improve the script. He's got a game plan, a win, Doug, on offense. And that should include not abandoning the run game. Now, we know how important that is, and he can't abandon it. You know, it still makes no sense to me that Miles Sanders breaks off a 74-yard run and doesn't get 100 yards. I mean, that's mind-boggling. I want to say it. I want to see tight end is an issue for the Ravens. So instead of the shallow crosses with Ertz, how about you send him down the field? All right? How about you send Sanders down the field on a wheel? That's the matchup. That's what you got to get. You know, the wideouts, you got Marlon Humphrey. You got a terrific secondary. You got to go advantage tight ends, running backs against the Ravens. Moving Carson. Design runs for Carson. Rollouts for Carson. I want to see creativity and not Jalen Hurts and nonsense. I want to see real creative, a lot of ghost movement. So I think this is a coach's game, both sides of the ball. Defensively, let's see what you got, Jim. Jim doesn't like the blitz, right? Well, we know that Lamar Jackson has trouble with pressure. Well, what are you going to do, Jim? What do you got cooking? Because you got to do more than just rush four. Especially since your ends have to be disciplined in their lanes. And you got to have containment. And you've gotten schooled on misdirection all season. So I want a plan that's different from what I've seen so far. You know, I'll go back to the Chiefs game against Baltimore that Monday night, and everybody was on Baltimore. All the Ravens. And I like the Chiefs. Now, partly is, you know, I thought the Chiefs could match up. And one of the things they did, and that was Coach Spags, was man zero. He did it four straight times during one stretch, but he pressured and he all out blitzed, right? He just sent more than they can block. And that messed with Lamar. Now, Schwartz doesn't like to do that. Well, let's go. If Marquise Brown's the guy that Slay is going to try to neutralize, what are you going to do elsewhere? So I'm curious. And to me, I think it's a coach's game. And I'm looking forward to seeing what those guys have put together. You got Marty, right? Marty's on the staff. Marty was on the Harbaugh staff. He worked with John for a while. He knows Lamar Jackson. So Morningway knows all there is about Lamar and that team. He should be able to help out in a big way. So this is a must win, as we know. We know the records. We know the situation. You know you're a home underdog over a touchdown, 7.5. Let's see what you got. All right? I'm willing to wipe the slate clean and see what you got for Sunday. Good morning, Junis.
Hey, what's going on?
What do you think? What do you think of that? It's a coach's game.
I like that. And they've been under a lot of heat, and rightfully so, in recent weeks. Doug, you know, obviously I think Doug had a good game last week. The Eagles put up 29 points, but the other weeks prior, he didn't have his best games. Jim Schwartz, I mean, the fire Jim Schwartz crowd was louder than it ever was. Like, a lot of the times...
Yeah, rightly so.
A lot of the times I think Jim Schwartz gets, you know, hated too much. But this past week, and really this season, you know, that going back to that Rams game too, where we've now heard twice a player say we knew it was coming and just couldn't stop them, that's a problem. That comes back to, yeah, personnel. We want to blame Nate Gary all we want. He sucks. But it also comes to, you know, preparation for the game or putting guys in the right spot. And clearly that just isn't happening. So I like that call that this is a coach's game.
Yeah, I want to see a better script to start the game. I think it's important.
Yep. Avoid your third straight three and out to start a game.
Yeah, and I think it's really important for them to get a lead on Lamar. One of the things that Raven offense, they're a they're like a horse, and I don't even know horse parlance, but they're like a front runner, right? Where they got to be in the lead because that offense isn't built to come back quickly. You've seen it. Every time they get behind, they have a tough time coming back.
Yeah, they got to run the ball a lot.
You got to get
clock ticks off.
You got to get a lead. You got, if you win the toss, you got to take the ball. You like that, Tunis?
Yeah, I'm normally a defense first guy. I like the defense on the field first, but know what? Not this game. I like that call. Get out there early. Use your guys like Fogum. I like what you mean, what you're saying by Ertz. I actually think this is a big Ertz game. Like, I think this is the game where we go, wow, Zach Ertz showed up to play this week. Like, I think this is a touchdown, 80-plus yard receiving day for Zach Ertz.
I agree.
And I really do.
But here's the thing. They got to get him down the field. No shallow crossers all day long. You got to get him down the field. That's what's going to help. That's what's going to make a difference if you get Ertz down the field. That's a big deal. That's why it's a tight end running back game. Their corners are really good.
Yes, they are.
You gotta make do with Sanders. Got to be a huge part of your game plan. Ertz again,
and keep Clement Scott on the sideline. I'm at this. You're right. I want Sanders to get 20 touches this week, and yes. I mean 20 touches is in carries.
Yeah,
throw him the ball 5 times.
Yeah,
finally figure out how to work this screen game because clearly you haven't been able to do that in the last year and a half, really. Right, we like to talk about the who is Boston Scott play. That was the last time I remember a screenplay actually really working for the Eagles that wasn't a play-action tight end screen. Yeah, you know what? This is a big coach game, and I like it. And you know what, Ant? I'll be honest with you. I felt gross last week.
Why?
I was so down with that Eagles-Steelers game. Remember, like, you were looking at me like,
oh, yeah. Oh
man, what's wrong with you? Like, I was in a bad place last week.
Yeah.
I can't do that this week.
Oh, it's no fun.
No, it's not. And you know what? I got personal reasons why I'm screaming go birds this weekend. I got too much family in Baltimore. I have a whole Lithuanian community in Baltimore.
You got a lot of
cousins. And we're nearing the day of my first anniversary, right? And I can still remember. This was after the wedding's done. We're down at the hotel bar.
Your side or Christy's side?
My side.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad's, you know, sisters and their kids. My cousin Dados, I still remember.
Dados?
Yes. It was at the hotel bar at the Lowe's Hotel, bottom floor. And he goes, yeah, your Wentz guy was good and all back then. We got Lamar. And I can still remember that conversation. Wow. We got Lamar. You got damaged goods. I still remember him saying that on the night of my wedding. Wow. On the night of my wedding, I'm getting shots thrown at me.
By Dados.
Regarding Lamar Jackson. And you know what? I can't go into this game going, yeah, you're right, your team's better. Maybe they are.
Dados.
The Ravens are a better team.
Yo, Dados.
I'm not going to lie. The Ravens are a better team. But screw them.
Get Dados on the phone today.
No.
Why not?
I don't want to give him his chance.
Break his balls. Call him up, Dados. Who is he, your cousin?
Yes.
First?
One of my favorite cousins.
Yeah?
Yeah. But.
Mom or dad?
Dad's side.
Yeah.
Looks just like my grandpa.
Dados?
Yeah. But you know what, man? Screw the Ravens.
Has he texted you this week?
No. I'm sure he does the Facebook. I haven't checked the Facebook. I don't do the Facebook anymore. Yeah, growing up, if the Eagles would lose a game, my aunt would call. And you know how back in the day, the caller ID would pop up on the TV?
Yeah.
I would see my aunt's name pop up, and I knew why she was calling.
Aunt Dados?
The game won't be over yet, Aunt. The fourth quarter, but the Birds are down 2 scores, she'd call. Just to rub it. Rub it in our faces that the Eagles are losing. Oh, by the way, the Ravens are up 3 touchdowns.
Wow.
So I can't let this happen.
What's your aunt's name?
Aldona.
Aldona. That's awesome.
I can't allow this week.
Aunt Aldona, cousin Donald's.
Aunt Aldona, Uncle Tom. I can't let this happen. So I'm not going to be doom and gloom today. I know people were upset last week. I had a guy after me on Twitter saying, man, get him off the air. He's so miserable. Oh, you know, I was miserable last week because I didn't think they were going to beat the Steelers.
Well,
and look what happened.
I didn't think so either. And, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, here's the thing. It's a football Friday. You're going to the game. The game's at home. I don't know. Like, to me, yeah, it's obvious. You don't need to be some, you know, football genius to go pick the Ravens, right?
No.
Like, you know, it's kind of silly. We you know kind of what they are. But here's the deal. It's not, they're not complete, it's not completely a miracle game. You know, again, you know, could they beat the Ravens? Why not? I would give it a, 15% chance.
I'm close to miracle still.
Whatever.
I don't give a damn, though.
I mean, whatever.
Birds.
You know, again, it's not that I see anything. Listen, there's sometimes when you go, hey, the wrong team's favored. Right? You know, there's a reason why the Ravens are favored. I get it.
And it's up to 8.5 now.
It's not an, what is it?
I saw it up to 8.5.
What?
Yeah, this morning.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it went up from 7.5 to 8.5.
Oh, my God.
But I don't care. I'm not giving you any analysis here.
The Dallas is a favorite by
half. Yes, I'm not giving any analysis here. I can't let them to feel joy another week. Another week of the Ravens and Lamar. Oh, you got damaged goods and Wentz. Shut up.
Wow. You and Dottos.
Oh, man.
You and Dottos going to go at it.
Yeah. We were sipping the drink that I made. Think about this. The audacity. We were sipping the drink that I made. The honey liquor. This is post wedding. We are bombed. And he has to bring up Lamar.
Wow. On Parks, it's 8.
Yeah.
It's 8 on Parks.
All right.
How about this money line? Eagles plus 285.
Outright. Let's go.
Ah, you got to be kidding me, man. That's wild. Well, listen, you know the deal? Like, to me, it's a statement game for these coaches.
Big time.
Let me see what you got. Game's at home. All right? First time you have, you know, you'll get a little E-A-G-L-E-S-ing.
Yeah, that'd be nice
going
to hear.
On, right? With fan base, I'm excited. Let's see what you got, because here's the medal of a good X and O coach. That the matchup is not great, but there are a couple things to exploit. Let's see what you got. So, you know what? I'm going to wipe the slate clean for this season on both Doug and Schwartz. Quite frankly, I don't think either have done a good job.
No.
So, but they get the erase board.
Yeah, one game.
Going into it. Because I really think it's a coach's game. Like, you got to be, your game plan's got to be tight. You got to be tight, and you're going to have to come up with a cup of some wizardry, right? One of the things in pulling off an upset is you need a couple wizard calls. There's got to be two calls on offense and two calls on defense that are wizard calls, right? Now, again,
where the broadcast is talking about it for the next 3 minutes. Like, oh, my God, what a play call.
Right. Yeah. Now, again, they got to be executed. And sometimes you don't know about the wizard call because the play's not executed. Carson goes somewhere else or somebody misses a block or whatever. So, in fairness, but that's what's going to take to beat Baltimore. You know, your game plan's got to be tight. You got to be smart. That includes no dumb penalties. And on defense, that includes staying in your lanes.
Yep. Contain the edges, man. I'm worried about those end arounds. I'm worried about Lamar Jackson.
Well,
breaking the pocket, moving left to right. I mean, listen, you're going to try the spy, right?
I have one player that I'm extremely worried about. I said it all day, all week. I'll say it again today. His name is Devin Duvernay. He's speed kid out of Texas.
Yep.
He's being he's part of the Ravens offense now. And the issue is he had a 57-yard run last week on an end-around. He can catch the ball. He's a punt returner. I'm worried about, like, that's a guy that I worry about off a big play. So just remember that name, and hopefully Schwartz, because listen, it's documented. I gave it a timestamp. I said Claypool before the game was going to be an issue. I'm saying Duvernay is going to be an issue. So circle him. All right? And if something happens that I'm serious, then he's got to go. Like if Duvernay lights him up again, then Schwartz got to go.
Okay, that's fair.
Because you got to be
no more clean.
You're right. No. Here's the deal. Both those guys to me are coaching for the masses' confidence. Is that fair?
Oh, yeah, 100% fair.
The confidence of the masses in those two coaches rest on Sunday. Let's talk about it. I got the Friday Five for you. We'll get into it. I also have a nominee for the Phillies GM. I want to get to that coming up as well. It's a Football Friday, rainy. Good day, though, to cozy up, talk some football. Cuz Radio will shoot. All right, listen. I got a life-saving message from the Colorectal Cancer Alliance. The pandemic changed our way of life, but we still have control over our health, especially when it comes to colorectal cancer. This disease is often preventable with screening and highly treatable when caught early. Still, 1 in 24 will be diagnosed with this disease in their lifetime. And it's the second leading cause of cancer deaths in the United States when men and women are combined. So, if you're over 45, get screened. If you're experienced symptoms, any symptoms, get screened right now. Screening is safe, and some tests can be done at home. Visit quiz.getscreened.org. to find the testing options right for you. Remember, colorectal cancer can often be prevented. If it's caught early, you got a 90% chance of survival. Getting screened is vital. It's safe. You got options. Take control. Get checked now. Do not procrastinate. Visit quiz.getscreened.org. Again, quiz.getscreened.org.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
What up?
Oh, 10:30 across the Delaware Valley. Cuz Radio with Tune is hanging with you. All right, we're going to open up the phone lines, and then I also want to give you the five for today. I got your Friday five, and don't forget, I'm going to give you a a name for your Phillies GM. By the way, the Braves won again.
Yep. I was right about Kershaw.
You're right on, cuz. You're right.
My man. I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
The dude just melts down.
It's amazing. One of the great pitchers
every time
ever who's just a choker.
I said to Bob when we did the beers on Bob this past Tuesday, I have a conspiracy theory that because the Braves went up 1-0, that's why they scratched Kershaw. Like, I think they did a, hey, listen, man, we know you're not 100%, so let's scratch you, and you'll pitch in game 4.
Yeah.
In hopes that, you know, he doesn't blow a game in game 2. They're down 2-0.
Yeah.
Now they eventually went down 2-0. And what happens in game 4? It's torched. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
I don't get it.
I know. In fact, that's one of the five questions is the really good player who's a choker. Who's just a choker. It's amazing.
Uh-oh.
All right.
I'm embarrassed.
I'm sure so. You know what I'm saying?
It is what it is. That's the question. Let's get it started on the phones. Scott in Pottstown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Scott, hey.
Hey, Tunis, what's going on?
What's happening, brother?
All right, so forget the X's and O's. I'm driving down the road today, gloomy day. I stop. Here comes the sunshine. Bald eagle. Whoops down here in Pottstown. Grabs an animal. I think it was a raven. I'm going to say it was a raven. Eagles by 1,000. Take the money line. E-A-G-L-E.
gonna kill the Raven. Love, that's where to start the show.
It's one of the best calls of all time.
How about that?
Quick and to the point, boom. E-A-G-L-E-S.
I love it.
Love a chant at the end.
Yes, I do. Timmy and Dayton. Timmy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
I'll be very similar. Listen, I had a sign this week. And, you know, you and I are big believers in signs. So I'm blowing leaves on the golf course. I look over and I see this big dude on the practice screen. I go over to the practice screen. He's got an Eagles mask on. It's Keith Byers playing golf on my golf course.
Are you in Dayton still?
It's in Piqua, Ohio. It's just outside of Dayton. So I see Keith Byers. I said, oh my gosh. I had my Eagles beanie on and I went and grabbed a Sharpie. I had him sign my Eagles beanie. How about that sign, Ed?
That is a sign. Number 41. And you know why that's eerie, too? Because on the morning show, they were talking about Keith Byers.
That's the morning show today.
Like 2 days ago. I think it was either yesterday or the day before. So what happened was they were talking about Byers, and Jamie, the bro, said how much he loved Byers, and incorrectly, Bob Cooney, who I usually agree with, was ripping Keith Byers. He stunk, and he didn't stink. He was a great blocker. He was a great pass catcher.
Oh, they hit on Pepper Johnson.
Yes.
Oh, man.
I love number 41.
Yeah, man. So, I don't know. I feel good. I think the crowd's going to be electric, even though there's only, you know, X amount of people allowed in. But I mean, I don't know. There's going to be a different energy in that building. And I don't know. I believe in signs, Ant.
I love it. How about Timmy Dayton? How about that? Keith Byers. That's a great sign.
Cunningham gets out of danger. He has an open field. What a juke as he gets to the 20-yard line.
Watch for the great block by Keith Byers on Pepper Johnson. Cunningham goes upfield. Watch him. He'll point. Say, block him. Bam! Right there. Byers just KO'd. Here's the shot. 52, Johnson. Watch that shot by Byers. Extra yardage for Randall Cunningham.
Wow! On cue! You got the Pepper Johnson block! That was the gift of doing all the playbacks.
Yeah, I have a lot of those in the files,
that's
man.
That's cool, man. That's very cool. Let's go to Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Gregory.
This was not there before. This just happened.
Come on, Greg. Come on, man.
Mr. Excitement.
Come on, bro. I got this girl. She's going to be excited. She, of course, is Edith from Chester. Edith.
Hey, Anthony, how you doing?
What's going on, Edith?
You know, I'm optimistic. You know, I love him. And I don't bet against him. I don't care how bad it looks. And we're going to take this to the – I don't think it's going to be as bad as a score as everybody thinks. I think that score is going to be much closer. It's going to be closer because them 7,500 people or whatever it's going to be in that lake is going to be like 70,000 people. That's how much.
Yes. Yes.
And I wish I could have got a ticket to come there because I would be down there. Trust me on that. I got a fan cut that was down there. So guess what? I'm still represented. But Anthony, I just don't know about Jim Schwartz.
Right.
I just don't understand some of the things that he does when he's, you know, play calling and he's seeing the defenses changing and he don't make no adjustments. I just don't understand it.
Yep.
I mean,
yep. No, listen. I think this is a big game for both coaches. They're right now, the confidence level in both coaches is at an all-time low, right?
Yep.
And it's up to both coaches to rescue themselves. Now, Schwartz is at bottom way more than even Doug.
Yeah,
so,
he is.
You know, it's up to him to provide confidence against a really good team in a game you really need. So let's see it, my man.
Let's see it,
Shorts.
I'm hoping and praying that he pulls the rabbit out of the hat because he's going to need some tricks in his bag to get past that offense. And, I mean, you know, and like you said, like I heard you say, they need to put pressure on Lamar. They need to put pressure on him, have him rattle. He needs to go on the ground. Simple and plain. He needs to go on the ground.
How about that? So, look at that, Tunis. How about he needs to go on the ground.
That's right.
He needs to go on the ground.
That's right. That's right. So here's my Eagles chant. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Yeah! Love it, Edith! Look at Edith! We're fired up! We got three chants!
Three chants in 38 minutes.
We didn't even open the phones until now. It's really three chants in 7 minutes, and whatever.
That's true, yeah.
You know, in about 20 minutes.
That's awesome.
That's impressive.
It's a good hype day.
Good, excellent hype day.
People are getting my back. Screw the,
Donalds?
Yeah. Screw Dottos, my aunt Aldona.
Aldona and Dottos, they're out.
Love you guys, but hey, screw you guys.
You're out, Dottos. Here's your five. You ready? Store away the five.
Okay.
Question number one of the five. Fans are back. The Eagle fans are back. Give me your best fan story at the game. Oh, I love those. Question number two. You are GM of Philadelphia. So all four teams fall under your umbrella. And you get one move. You can do anything you want. It could be a firing. It could be a trade. It could be anything you want. You're going to be the Lord of 4-for-4. And you get to cast down upon thee any move you want. All right? Question number three. We're in desperate need of a speech. You know, some days you play a tough game, right? The season's hanging by a thread. You got to get a speech. Who gives the speech? What fictitious character or real character, whoever you want, gives the speech to fire you up? It's actually National Boss Day. So who's the guy that's going to give you the speech? Question number four. Now, this is an interesting one because I'm going to get rid of the choker question because you're right. That puts out bad karma. In fact, I'm doing a last-minute switcheroo with Tim from Dayton. Give me a sign, any sign that you think applies to any of the four teams, a sign, because I do believe in signs. And then finally, I want you to play out the game, the key play, the key player, and the score for Sunday. There it is, your Friday Five for today. It's Cubs Radio with Tunis, 97.5 The Fanatic. Oh, wait a second. My bad. I'm looking at 10:41. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I got a break. That's the old one.
We talked about that yesterday,
yeah,
the old breaks.
That's why it was probably in my head.
That's all right.
Good.
You want a nominee for a speech?
Yes.
I put together a little package for you. Pump more people up.
Let me hear it.
Hold on. It's got your favorite song in it, too.
Oh, we got that.
What you gonna bring to the table tonight?
Look at the white shirts on the line of scrimmage.
That was a 9-man blitz.
It ain't no doggone tomorrow, fellas. We gonna score today, or we gonna score out.
Fires it his way. There's Evans at the 45, inside the 20, and on the first play at Philadelphia in an Eagle uniform, Darrell Owens takes it 81 yards right on the jersey number.
Are you gonna bust somebody in their mouth?
Third is short. Pearl under pressure, and he is buried. Josh Sweat. Third and eight. Here they come again as the Eagles defense pinning their ears back. Derek Barnett.
Throws, just picked off. And all the way to the end
On second and goal, Conkey collapses. Wentz trying to buy some time. He's going to tuck it away. Run for it. Lunges end zone for the touchdown. What a run by Wentz.
Wentz is going to air it out deep downfield. And it will be caught. And into the end zone goes Fulgham for a touchdown. Travis Fulgham down the sideline for 42 yards.
The time has come.
Yes! Wow, that was outrageous! Outrageous!
So can Dawkins be in the mix?
Oh, my God. Now, you have others.
Yes.
Because we were, this morning, Andrew and I were kind of going through things, and that was fun. Dawkins is the best, though. Oh, yeah. My God, he's the greatest. All right, so who gives you the speech? You got the five for today. Let's get it back on the phone lines. John in Elkins Park. Johnny, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning, John.
Well, anyway, I've been smelling a trap game all week.
I like it.
I don't know why. I just feel like I think we got tunnel vision. I think they're not as bad as we think they are.
Okay. You know what? I can get behind that.
So, I don't know, that money line's looking real good to me.
Oh, tasty money line, huh?
I don't know. I mean, what did you guys expect from Pittsburgh from the game last week? I was expecting the worst. Wasn't that bad?
Yes. Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, let's face it, that field goal would have given them the lead. So yeah. That's your point. And look, you might be right. Are they as bad as we think they are? I think you're right. I don't think they're as bad as it could sometimes feel.
Exactly. I think that we got tunnel vision. We're stuck on all the negatives. But when you look back at the big picture, they got a shot. I think they got a good shot.
I love it. I love it. Give me a score. Give me a key play. What are you feeling?
I think actually the key play might be it might knock somebody else out of the game.
Wow.
Somebody's gonna leave the game.
Wow. Wow, that's what you feel, huh?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And it's gonna even the field.
All right. Well, I will put that down there, Johnny.
I don't know. I can't come up with anything.
That's all right. How you feel? First thing that came out of your mouth, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, we hope that's not the case, but, you know, who knows? All right. Give us a chant.
E-A-G-L-E-S-E-G-O.
There you go. How about we get fired up for this game? Can we go into the Wawa and scream at the top of our lungs? While you're on the air and do the chant, can we go to the store and slip down your mask and scream E-A-G-L-E-S?
Can't slip down your mask.
Well, no, I mean, just pull it down for a second.
It'll go through the mask.
Whatever. You get my point.
There you go.
Can we do that?
You're hearing loud and clear.
All right. I want you to be on the air while you're doing that. I want you to call up. I want you to go somewhere, preferably quiet, right? And just do a chant. Unleash your primal scream of the E-A-G-L-E-S.
So when Stan is lighting his daily candle?
Yes.
Whatever
church, whatever synagogue.
Father Carmine.
Whatever house of worship. Father Carmine.
I got a chant, Father Carmine.
Yo, Father Carmine, your father. Can you, you know, I got the big fight. Can you throw down a chant? All right, can we do that? I'm starting to feel the vibe and energy of the city. I think people are into it. I like it. The doom and gloom of the day is not infecting the show. And it's a show me... from the coaches. I think it was interesting what he just said. Do we think they're worse than they really are? That's possible, Andrew. What do you think about that statement?
You know.
That's never a start.
Go Birds.
Well, how bad do you think they are?
Listen, we have them winning maybe six games at this point.
Now, didn't we have seven?
Maybe seven. Six, maybe seven. You're a bad team if you're winning six or seven games. All right?
All right.
So, you're a bad team if you win six or seven games, but six or seven games might win you the division this year. So I don't care about win total. I don't care about the other teams. Just I'm looking at the NFC East.
Listen, but they don't stink. There's a lot of bad teams.
Yeah, they're not the Jets.
Exactly.
They're not the
Jaguars. Right?
All right, well, if they stink, then the Eagles are below average.
Okay. Yeah, 7-8-1 would make you below average slightly.
Yeah, and the Ravens are
really like
above
the height
average.
Of like mediocre. Okay, yeah, they are, but listen, it's a coach's game.
Yes.
Listen, Baltimore's terrific, but they lost. All right? It's not like they can't lose. They lost.
The Chiefs.
The Chiefs lost to Oakland.
That's true.
All right?
That's a good point.
It's possible.
Well, Oakland does have the best receiver in the NFL right now. Yeah, Nelson Aguilar.
I thought you were talking about Henry Ruggs.
They got Aguilar, man. 8 for 8. Perfect passer rating.
All right. Seriously. They got a shot. This is, again, I gave you a couple things. You got to get up early. You got to be able to go Ertz down the field. You got to go to Sanders. You got to be, you got to not on defense, break containment. Come on. Let's go play that game.
Yep.
It's one game. Because this one game is a monster. A monster. I heard Mike say this yesterday with Hembo, that if you win tomorrow, Sunday, think about it. You then have a 46% chance of making the playoffs. That's a big deal.
Yeah, I like that.
All right. Lots to get to. We'll also peek in on the Doug P. And I got Jim from the Palm, and he's being negative on the text board.
Shocker. He's being a realist.
Right. He said that you're a real Adelphian. All right. All right. And if you want to take the five, please do. We were all filled up. Now we got some openings. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Cuz Radio Chunis. Hey, you can get in on all of the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To add to the excitement of Week 6, DraftKings Sportsbook bringing back their can't-miss offer, giving all new users the chance to receive a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. On top of that, DraftKings offers great odds boosts every Sunday to help you make it rain. DraftKings is safe, reliable, secure, making it easy for you to deposit, withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use promo code Fanatic when you sign up. Get up to $1,000. That's $1,000. Use code Fanatic. Get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 for a limited time only at DraftKings.com at DraftKings Sportsbook. Got to be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only. Partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus, first bet match. Each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Across the Delaware Valley. Cuz Radio with the Chunis on a Football Friday. Love the Football Friday. Don't you love the Football Friday?
Yes, I do.
Aren't you in a good mood?
Yeah. By the way, Football Fridays on the Fanatic are driven by AAA. wherever the open road takes you, take AAA.
Very nice. Nikki on the text board, the crunchy roll is a mandatory scoop. Yes, indeed it is. And if you're just joining us, we have this good vibe. The first hour of the program, I believe I counted five chants. That's a good thing. I'm excited. I'm talking about the idea of fans being back in the stadium. There's going to be 7,500 people. I love Eagle fans. I do. I love, like, I want, if you're going to the game, do me a favor. Let me know. Let Tunis and I know. We it's the greatest. So one of your Friday five questions is your favorite fan story. Could be that you encountered at the game or one you heard of. I love the fan stories. Those Eagle fans are the greatest. They just are. So hook us up with one of those stories. It's one of the Friday fives for today. We're also trying. My belief is that squarely this is a coach's game, and it's on Doug and even more importantly Schwartz to get the confidence back of the city, the whole city. And I mean the city, I mean the region. Right now, doubters. They're doubting in the direction of the coaches. And look, that happens. Crisis of confidence. I got it. And I'm looking to Sunday. I want to get it back. Isn't that right, Andrew?
Yes, it is right. I want to get it back, too. I'm with you on that one.
So, Jim from the Palm, we had a caller who said, you know what? I don't think they're as bad as we think. We're in a dark and dour place. But you know what? They're not as bad. And I said, you know what? You're probably right. Listen, they put up points against a good Steelers defense. That Steelers team's a good team. Jim from the Palm said, L to Washington, tie to Bengals. They stink. That was his response. And he said, tell Tunis I got a spot for him in my foursome. He said he hasn't had a bad Sunday in weeks because he's golfing every Sunday while the game's going on.
That's a violation. Come on, Jim. Come on, Jim. Come on, man. Give it golfing. Game day during the game. Come on. You can't do that.
I mean, I agree with you, but, you know, that's what you might. Everybody sit tight because we're going to get to you in just a few minutes. Andrew, I know, is in St. Louis. Adam's in Gainesville. And Greg is in Bethlehem. So we're going to go all across the map. But Doug just spoke. Let's listen in on a little Doug Peterson.
Morning, Coach. We'll get started. Ruben and then John Clark.
Hey, good morning, Doug. Just wondering what's up with Matt Pryor and also Lane's progress and just kind of what the right side of that O-line is going to look like Sunday.
Yeah, in the case of Matt Pryor, he just like some of our players here recently have fallen into a little bit of the illness issue, illness protocol with him. So we're taking all the precautions and making sure that he's safe and healthy. And so he's going to miss this game, and Jamon Brown's going to start there at right guard.
What have you seen from Jamon since he got here?
One of the things, first of all, he's played and started, you know, in this league. You go back and watch some of his tape. He's done some things well. He's been with us now for a couple of weeks. And as you guys know, whenever we get a new player, it's about catching them up to speed on our playbook. And he's done a really nice job. He's a smart guy. He's aggressive, coming off the ball. He fits in really well. And he's had, you know, he had a good day yesterday, and he'll have another one today. We get to practice and get ready to play.
Go ahead, John, and then Dave.
Morning, Doug. Will DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey play Sunday? And if so, boy, that's like seven possible receivers. How many receivers do you think you'll dress? And is this a difficult decision you got here?
Well, we still have a couple of days, obviously, before game time. You know, 90 minutes to make those decisions until we kick off. But in the case of DeSean Jackson, he had a really good day yesterday. He'll get back out there today and practice. And, you know, I'm hopeful that things go well today. And there's a possibility for him. You know, in Alshon's case, obviously, you know, we just incorporated him back into practice this week, taking team reps. So we want to make sure that again he's feeling good before we put him out there. You know, he was taking, you know, scout team reps this week and you know, want to get him obviously with the offense before we make that decision.
Go ahead, Dave, and then Mike Sielski.
And Doug, at the end of last year, when you guys were playing a lot of younger players, you mentioned that they brought a lot of enthusiasm and juice. You've been forced to play some younger guys this year. Have you been getting the same results from getting those young guys involved more?
Yes.
What does that do for a team?
Gives you more juice and enthusiasm.
Okay, we'll go to Mike and then Jeff McClain.
Hi, Doug. In Lamar and Carson, you've got two quarterbacks who kind of can really play the position in the modern way. You know, guys who can move and throw and run and do everything that needs to be done. There have been guys like this, though, before, and I'm wondering what you and maybe other coaches around the league might have learned over time about how to keep a quarterback like that healthy. Do you have to teach him to throw from the pocket? Do you have to – is there anything that coaches and offensive coordinators can do to keep a guy like a Lamar or a Carson – healthy over the long term? Have you learned anything about that over time?
Yeah, you know, I think some of the things you learn is you don't want to put them in a box. You want them to be able to use their athleticism. That's the gift that they have that's got them to this level, right? Is the ability to use their legs, be athletic, be mobile, you know, throw outside the pocket, all those things. And so you don't ever want to limit that. I think sometimes coaches try to put parameters around guys and it can actually hurt more than it can benefit a player. And so in Carson's case, Lamar's case, and some of these, you know, more mobile guys, use that as a strength, use that as a weapon, and you know, allow them to use and extend plays in passing situations, or, you know, scheme up some play action pass or, you know, movements for the quarterback. And those are things that I think, you know, I know I've learned, having go all the way back to having worked with Michael Vick and Vince Young and guys like that here who are, you know, really athletic and mobile. Alex Smith was that way in Kansas City, obviously, and being able to utilize that as a strength more than try to hinder those guys.
Go ahead, Jeff, and then Zach.
Doug, the update on Lane Johnson's availability for Sunday. And if, you know, obviously it sounds like Jack Driscoll will be the guy to step in if he doesn't go. What have you seen out of Jack? What do you really like about him?
Yeah, Lane is working through his injury this week. He hasn't practiced at all. So, we have Jack ready to go if that's the case. Jack has done a nice job, you know, and he's played all the way back to week one. So he's got a lot of time on task. You know, this guy is all about business, and that's what you like about Jack Driscoll, you know, as a young player, and you know, another opportunity for him to get better this week.
If I may follow up real quick, you know, he's got an MBA. We'll all hear about his intelligence. How much does that factor in the football, really, when you have a guy that intelligent?
It factors in a lot. Because they're able to process movement, right? They're able to think on their feet, and that's what you like to see, not only pre-snap but post-snap, and that's something that Jack can do, and how he can change direction just because of what the defense, he can anticipate. You know, those are all things when you talk about being smart. It's not so much just knowing the plays; it's also anticipating what they see post-snap. You know, when the defense moves, and how to take the initial line call and then apply it to the post snap.
Zach, and then Les.
Hey, Doug. In Jeffrey's case, Alshon Jeffrey's case, when you took him off PUP, it sounded like you thought you could get him back in 6 weeks. How do you look back at that decision to keep him on the active roster, especially considering you guys made some tough cuts there?
Well, you're exactly right. You know, when you don't put a guy like Alshon on, but we hopefully anticipated him coming back within the 6 weeks, right? And you know, it has taken a little bit longer, but again, you guys know that I want to make sure that he's 100%. He's just now getting back into, you know, practice, right? He's done some individual work and now he's into practice. And I mean, listen, I think medically Alshon's case, our case, we were hopeful that within the 6 weeks he would have been back. So, you know, I can't second guess the decision, obviously. But he is getting close and we're excited about that.
Go ahead, Les, and then Rob.
Darius Slay, he was listed as limited yesterday. I assume he's moved through the concussion protocol pretty well. Does he still have something to get cleared on to get to play Sunday?
He's been in the protocol all week. Part of the protocol was him getting out there yesterday and participating in practice. He did that. And he was cleared this morning by the independent, so he's good to go.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Rob, and then John McMullen.
Doug, I know it was 21 years ago when John Harbaugh was in his second year here as a special teams coach, and you were his holder. What do you remember about his coaching style? And could you tell he was going to go on and become a successful head coach?
You know, you're going, geez almighty, I've slept since then. Hopefully it comes down to a hold. Maybe that's the key to the game right there. You just unlocked the key to victory, the holders. I do think back on John and when he was here with Coach Reed back in those early days. You know, he's always had an aggressive mindset. His special teams have always been detailed and really prepared and you know, obviously back then when I was a player, you don't know necessarily how a coach could you know, if they're going to be a good head coach or a great head coach or not, but you just know he had the right chemistry, he had the makeup, he had the demeanor that if given the opportunity, you know that he was going to be successful just because of the way I do remember how he approached his special teams unit, again, how well prepared they were, how hard they played for him. And that's obviously carried over to his teams in Baltimore.
Go ahead, John, and then Kristen.
Hey, good morning. Doug. Rob kind of stole my thunder. I was going to ask you about Harbaugh, but I'll switch to the defense. That Baltimore defense, I think they've had turnovers in something like 18 straight games. That's the most in the NFL. What do they do well, and what does that make difficult for you as a game planner?
Well, you know, as far as game planning, you got to go execute, and you got to execute the play called. As far as them and creating turnovers, one, they know how to put pressure on the quarterback, so the quarterback is sometimes forced to make bad decisions or put the ball be a little bit less accurate, and so they get interceptions on the back end. And I think one of the things they do probably better than anyone in the league is they know how to tackle or punch out the football, you know. And you saw it last week, and Marlon Humphrey, you know, is one of the best in the league at doing that. And that's something that we've coached our players up this week. We've shown them tape on that. But listen, until you're out there doing it, it's just a matter of, you know, just understanding and putting our players, trying to get our look squads this week to try to, you know, simulate that a little bit in practice. But they're really good at it. They're really good at getting the ball out, tackling the football, punching at the football, disrupting timing in the passing game, and that's why they've been able to create turnovers.
We got time for a couple more, so we'll do Kristen and then Tim.
Good morning, Doug. I too was going to ask about John Harbaugh, so let's talk about the tight ends instead. You know, Mark Andrews has put together a really good season so far. What's the difficulty that he brings, especially considering this defense, the Eagles defense, has struggled against some tight ends in the first few weeks?
Well, you know, obviously for them, it starts with the run game and you know, and then everything, the play action pass, the QB movement comes off of that, and they're real dynamic that way. And he's such an athletic guy. He's big, he's physical, and they've been able to just create space. You know, Lamar is dynamic, and so there's a lot of attention obviously on him, and when he gets rolling, so sometimes the tight end is just left really just wide open, you know, dropped coverage and things of that nature. And so, you know, teams like this, you got to remain disciplined on defense, right? You got to trust your eyes, you got to trust your instincts, trust what you have been taught during the week as far as the game plan goes, and you know, just lock into that, and hopefully you can at least limit the amount of exposure or the touches, you know, with guys like that.
Go ahead, Tim.
Doug, you had four guys listed as illness on yesterday's report, including Jamone Brown, who you're saying is going to be starting in place of Matt Pryor, but Matt Pryor is not going to be able to play. Can you help explain that? And you know, whatever's happening, are you confident you have contained?
Yeah, in Jamone's case, it was more last week, you know, and then early this week he had a little illness. Just sometimes, and listen, part of the protocol, and I legally, I'm, you know, bound not to get into a lot of protocols with you guys. You know, I can't announce a lot of things publicly, but you know, we've got to take everything into precaution. Whether a guy has an upset stomach, or he's got a headache, or you know, he's got whatever it could be. It doesn't even have to be, you know, COVID related. We have to take everything seriously, and we got to protect the entire team and the organization. So we're making sure that in this case that, you know, we want to make sure that everybody's healthy. You know, we're testing daily, which is part of the protocol. So far we have been, you know, clean and clear and, you know, but at the same time, we got to take precautions to make sure that, you know, if something does happen that, you know, we're prepared, we're ready. And, you know, we got to stick to the guidelines, the protocols that have been in place. Guys have been doing a great job there. And so we continue to roll. It's just, we know that this is going to happen. It's going to happen. You're seeing it around the league, right? It's happening again today. So, you know, we're just taking every precaution to make sure everybody's healthy.
All right. There was the Doug Friday piece. So we have to worry about the offensive line is the main takeaway with Lane Johnson, who hasn't practiced all week. Now, something tells me Lane will play. But again, he hasn't practiced all week. I guess it's how you feel. But you got some issues because you got Brown stepping in at guard for Pryor. And then you got the Driscoll. You got Jolton Jack. Would play for Lane. That's a worry, Andrew. That's a bit of a worry.
Yeah, I saw on Twitter this would be the sixth different alignment now on the offensive line.
Yes.
It's week six.
Yeah, that's concerning.
Yeah. Jason Peters got that mill, though.
Yeah.
You know, God forbid I didn't like that.
Wow.
You know, I'm all about you know, people getting paid, but you know, he holds you all.
Lane Johnson deferred his money, so
holds you hostage, and hey, what do you know? That lasted 3 weeks. Hit the over on that.
Well, there you have it. I don't know. Did you learn anything? You know, I gotta get I'm curious though. What's with the attitude at times?
I don't know.
Doesn't he have an attitude sometimes? Like I go, like, there's no need to be snarky. Like, go ahead. You have that one cut.
And Doug, at the end of last year, when you guys were playing a lot of younger players, you mentioned that they brought a lot of enthusiasm and juice. You've been forced to play some younger guys this year. Have you been getting the same results from getting those young guys involved more?
Yes.
What does that do for a team?
Gives you more juice and enthusiasm.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get that. Later on, he did the same kind of thing.
Like, you know.
Like he dealt with the Harbaugh thing. Well, maybe it'll come down to a hold.
Right.
Ha ha. Well, like, why?
I mean, the question was like a simple question, but come on, man. Just, hey, listen, the young guys we got here, next man up mentality.
Yeah, I don't get, like, the attitude. Do you?
No. Was it, like, we're not asking you to go, yeah, Howie did a bad job getting the older players in here. No, we're just, you know, what does it mean for your team that these young guys step up, and what does it do for them?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I took the question as being, see, he's gotta watch himself. He's not come across well during these news conferences, and I think somebody needs to tell him, hey, Doug, you know.
Not Belichick.
Well, that goes without saying, but hey, Doug, like, listen, you're talking to the fans. It's not just the media people that you see on the Zoom call. You're talking to the fan base, and you guys show the fan base respect. I mean, that's, you know, I think that's 101, man.
Yes.
You know, this kind of prickly behavior is unbecoming. It's what got, you know, one of the reasons why Chip Kelly was hated so much is that was a Chip Kelly kind of thing. And Doug's not like that. All right. Let's talk about Parks, and we get back to your phone call, 610-632-0975. I count 1, 2, 3 open lines, so you can grab them. I don't want you to take the 5-2, and I want fan stories. Fans are back, baby. All right, listen, let me talk about Parks. I was there last night at the sports book for Cousins Corner. Love Parks Casino, Street Road, Ben Selm. You can't get there. Don't worry. Go to the app. That's right. This weekend, all customers will get a 25% profit boost to use on the game on Sunday. Yeah, against Baltimore. That's right. All customers get a 25% boost to use on the Birds game. No promo code necessary. And the odds boost offer opens to all customers, both current and new. Download the app or go to pa.partscasino.com. It's Parks Casino, the number one casino in Pennsylvania. The app, again, easy deposit methods, fast payouts, great odds, outstanding customer service. Go with the home team. Got to be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 11:30 across the Delaware Valley. Bit of a rainy, gloomy day, but I think the people's spirits have been good today. They're emboldened. We got, you know, let's look forward to a football game. I think that's our mentality. The mentality is, hey, let's look forward to a game. See what happens. All right? Let's see. I think people are into the, hey, let's, I don't know about suspend disbelief, but like, all right, like, I'm just curious to see as a good barometer, right? Here's the thing. I think you'll know after this game whether they have, it's less about win or loss and more about how they play. Like, if they get pasted, well, then they probably won't beat the Cowboys. Now, I think if you matched up Eagles and Cowboys right now, I still think the Eagles could win that.
I think so, too.
And I think it's probably at worst a split, right? But I think they could beat the Cowboys.
Yes.
By the way, 11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. It would shake me if they got blown out. Like, if they lost 38-9.
Like that Vikings game last year?
Yeah, it would shake me. Then I would be, nah, maybe not.
Yeah, because let's face it,
then I would think they could lose to the Giants, which right now I do not believe.
Right. This is the best team they're facing this year. Right? The 49ers obviously coming off the Super Bowl from last year, but they had Nick Mullins starting the game. The Rams are... Oh, you know, they're okay. They'll be in the running.
Well, listen, they're 5-0, but 4 of them came against the NFC East.
Right. So, the Ravens are the best team that they are going to be facing. And you're right. If they lose, like, what would you say, 30-9 or something like that? Yeah, then that's not a good sign. But last week, I still thought the Steelers were a far better team than the Eagles. The Eagles played them tough.
They did, and that's the point, is that they were on the road. They scored points against a really good team.
We came away with positives from that game.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, it was the Claypool thing was more annoying because you figure if you could just fix that piece of it, you win the game.
Right. Yeah, you don't give up four touchdowns. I mean, you cut that in half, you win.
Yeah. But, you know, again, this game's at home. You know you have to win. You're 1-3-1. So, you know, you hope they win. But the other piece of it is, God forbid they don't win, they go to 1-4-1. But if they play tough, you know you could still climb back into it.
Yeah,
you got Giants, Cowboys, bye Giants.
And you take more positives from the game.
Right.
And right now, being that this division is so bad, moral victories aren't that terrible.
No, I know.
Like, I came away with moral victories last week. Like, wow, Carson has a guy. He's got Travis Fulgham. You know what I mean? And maybe Travis Fulgham gets a lot of attention. You mentioned it. The Ravens have great corners. But maybe that opens things up for Hurts.
I don't even understand this Jeffrey stuff. Even Jackson. I mean, I get now you need a speed guy. So
I mean, Jackson probably at least catches that ball that Hightower completely whiffed on.
Jackson, I get. But if you got Fulgham, I don't care about Alshon Jeffrey. And the last thing you need to do is
cause more rifts.
Well, no, not even that. Is take away from Fulgham.
Yeah.
I want to see what he is. I mean, he's got to play. He's got to play every week. You got to figure, one of the things that you do while you're trying to win a division is figure out what you have on the roster.
Yep. So, and you know, we talked about this earlier in the week. That means not putting Jason Peters back out left tackle as soon as he's healthy. Let me see Mailata go through the growing pains because we don't know about Dillard.
Yeah.
Right? So if Mailata balls out this year, maybe you can try to move Dillard for something. Maybe. Right? He's a first-round pick. Former first-round pick. So maybe Mailata can be that left tackle of the future for you. But you can't just bench him as soon as Peters comes back, unless Carson Wentz is getting killed. That's, you know, that's another conversation. But so far through 2 weeks.
No, he's been fine.
He's done a good job.
Yeah, he's been fine. Coming up in an hour, Tom McCarthy will join us. I'm excited to talk to T-Mac. Heard him the other day, and he was fantastic.
Did a great job.
On the Bills and Tennessee Titans game. He was awesome. And Jay Philly was good.
Yeah.
No?
I'm not the biggest Jay Philly fan.
Well, I'm saying he was actually good.
He did it. Yeah. For, you know what? I will give him credit for him being like the kicker analyst to actually go into the booth and do, you know, be a normal analyst. He did an okay job.
I mean, I put it this way. I had no expectations and I thought he was good.
Did you ever see the video of the college football game that he was on the crew for, and the guy missed the field goal wide right by like 20 yards. I'll show it to you next break.
No.
Feely literally, oh, and there it is through the uprights, ties the game. And it was like, what? Like, it was like 20 yards wide right.
I don't know, whatever. Let's keep.
No, I'll show you. You'll watch and you'll go, dude, really?
All right. I'm just saying, I've heard a lot worse.
Yeah. Chris Myers.
Let's get back to the phones. Andrew in St. Louis. You're on 97.5 The Fan. Andrew!
Hey, Doug, how you doing?
What's going on, Andrew?
Not much, man. I wanted to call a Philly story for you and my thoughts on the Birds.
Yes!
All right, so looking at Baltimore Ravens, if they play well this game, like offensively, I actually think, you know, looking down the schedule, I think they can beat the Seahawks. Like, you look at the schedule, like, this team and the Seahawks are the two best teams we play for the next, what, six games? Right?
Right.
And if they come out and they drop 20 plus, I think they can make a game of the Seahawks, too, because the Seahawks are letting up, like, average of 25 points a game. And they might be able to steal one of these games between Baltimore and the Seahawks. And I think we actually have, you know, if they let these, you know, these new guys get more reps, uh-huh, you know, speaking of, like, Alshon and DeSean Jackson, like, why would you let these guys back in? When looking at your schedule, like, you just need all these kids who haven't gotten a lot of practice reps with Carson to get more.
Yeah.
So that they can grow with Carson. Because, like, you're looking at the next, you know, going past this season, you have to know what you have, right?
Yes. It's funny. I just got done saying that. I completely agree.
Like, this is, you know, like, I love Alshon to death. And if we start making a run, great, why not?
I don't love Alshon to death, but, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I honestly, I don't really, like, I'm ambivalent toward Alshon Jeffrey. I don't know what his beef was with the quarterback before, whatever. But the point is your point, which is right on, is I got to see Travis Fulgham because Alshon Jeffrey's not my future.
Yeah, like Hightower's your future. Fulgham's your future. Like, you have to see if these guys can actually work so you know what to draft.
Yep.
Like, if you don't look at your offensive line, like, speaking of Peters, like, he's 38, right? He's not going to get younger.
Right.
He's not going to get injured again. So, like, you have to let Mile out of play. Like, you have to let him play. Like, let him go out there.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. The Seattle game, I can't pick them yet. You know, I got to see how they respond against Seattle, against Baltimore, what kind of football they're playing. Because, again, I see what you see with their Seattle's defense, but you got Russ. It's a tough game.
And so I got a silly story for you. Last year I was bartending in Rittenhouse, and they were doing the 10-year reunion for the 09 team, right? And it was 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock. And
you at the Irish pub? Where were you?
Rouge.
You're at Rouge.
So you know Yaron and all them, right?
Yes.
Yeah, man. Those are my boys. I used to see them like every night.
My God! Well, Rouge is the best. You know, that was a great spot.
Yeah, and so the 09 team. Jason Worth walks in, and I'm like, oh, my God, look at this Yeti. You know, you forget how big he is, right?
Yeah.
And he asked for a table, and I'm like, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, you're Jason Worth. You can have whatever you want. And then he waits for about 2 minutes. Chase Utley comes in. And then another 2 minutes, your favorite pitcher ever, Joey B. Joey B.
Wow, Joe B! Get out!
Yeah. Mr. Home Run in L.A. walks in, and then just behind him, with him, is Raul Ibanez.
Wow, that's a great squad right there.
Yeah.
Stairs, Raul, that's awesome.
Yeah, so Joey B. Blanton's got a vineyard in California, so he brought a bunch of wine, and they're like, how long can we keep the bar open? I'm like, whenever you want to close is when we close. So they sat there. They drank 5 bottles of wine between them, talking stuff. Oh, and last guy to come. Last guy to show up, Ryan Howard.
That's awesome. That's a great night. That's a great night, man.
It was insane.
What kind of tip they leave you?
They left me and the other server like $300.
Nice.
Like, they were just, like, super nice, and they were talking, like, low-key, because this was, like, middle of the summer. They were talking about, like, what was going to happen in managerially in the Phillies, because apparently they were already talking with, like, ownership and amongst themselves about who they thought was going to end up as manager. And Ryan Howard kept going, it's going to be Joe Girardi. It's going to be Joe Girardi. It's going to be Joe Girardi. And I was like, lo and behold, 5 months later.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's a great story, man. What brought you to St. Louis?
So my now wife works in the ICU. She's an anesthesiologist. So she's doing her fellowship out here.
Wow.
So she does, like, she's going back on the COVID rotation. So on that note, like, I listen to you guys all the time. I love you guys and Mike and everybody. And it just makes my life, like, better.
That's awesome. Like, yeah, it's a little taste of home, man. I can dig it, brother. Listen,
yeah, dude, I miss
the pizza
and the Mexican.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, I know the food. I've been to St. Louis a lot. There's really not a lot going on. No, I can see where you're missing. Listen, be safe out there. I love the story. It's a great story. And I can't wait till you come home. All right, buddy?
All right, man. You guys have a good one.
You too. How about that story? It's a great story.
Imagine seeing those guys walk in. I would go nuts.
Oh, yeah. You would be Joe fanboy.
Yeah. You know? I wouldn't be able to control myself.
I was down the street, Devin from Rouge. And I got a little fanboyish with, you ready? Musburger and Bill Walton.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
And you know who the greatest guy was? Bill Walton.
I bet he was.
He was outrageous.
He was on a different planet probably when you were talking to him.
He was fantastic. This was years ago. That was hysterical. Let's go to Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, good morning, guys. Sorry about that call earlier. I don't know. For some reason, I went to answer it, and a call dropped. Apologize for that. But
well, no worries.
I was listening to Cousins Corner last night and then followed up with Devon's show, and he had Barrett Brooks on, was talking about Zach Ertz, you know, and a lot of people have been throwing shade on Ertz, and you know, I had my questions, but you know, the play that seems to come up all the time is that interception where he got chipped and people think that he didn't follow through with his route. And Barrett said that he studied the play, and that play was supposed to go to Sanders on a swing pass, and Ertz was really supposed to be throwing a pick. So, you know, he wasn't supposed to get the ball.
Barrett called us. What day was it, Andrew? Barrett called us.
On Tuesday.
Tuesday, said the same thing. We were talking about it, and he said the same thing, that the play was designed to go to Sanders. You know, so, all right, but here's the one problem, is that he still got to go run the route the right way.
You can't
get bumped off by a corner.
Well, I thought Barrett's point was that Ertz was just sort of supposed to get in the way of the corner or the linebacker, and you know, really, well, it was obvious he didn't expect that he was going to get the ball. I think he thought his job was just to go out and get in the way so Sanders could get the throw. And I guess Wentz didn't feel comfortable. You know, he's had a couple of bad throws on those swing passes. And
I heard him say that too.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. Maybe it is true. And maybe the play, that's why he didn't throw it. But that's still not an excuse for Ertz to run a lazy route.
No, but it explains why he didn't do it like you would normally think he would do it, you know?
The point is, and listen, I hear it, and when Barrett told me that on Tuesday, hey, you know what? I hear you. The play was supposed to go to Sanders, but still the point is, even if you're running a dummy route, you got to sell. You can't just get bumped off by a cornerback.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. I just thought it was, it made me not feel as bad about Ertz's effort.
I don't think Ertz, put it this way, Greg, I don't think Ertz is nailing it in. I don't believe that. I don't believe he's that kind of dude that's mailing in because of the contract. I don't.
Right.
No. That doesn't choose to play, but I don't think he's quitting because of his contract. I don't. I think one of the issues with them is, and I heard people talking about it, and Carson's been high, and Doug said it the other day. That's a bunch of nonsense, too. Listen, if you don't have Goddard in the game, right, well, you're going to focus on Ertz, right? If you got no-name wide receivers, and you're a defensive coordinator, who are you going to take out of the game?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, sometimes it's pretty obvious. Thanks, brother. And the other piece of it is, how about you send Ertz and Goddard, excuse me, you send Ertz down the field? Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, I honestly don't remember seeing that this season. Last time I remember seeing it was, what, the playoff game against the Seahawks? Or before, when he got hit. Remember, then he had the lacerated kidney. Because he jumped up. I still remember he jumped up high. The throw was high. And he got hit in the back. That's the last time I remember seeing Ertz go downfield. Yeah, I don't know. You're right. It's all these underneath stuff for Ertz. And all these outs, and that's it. That's good and all, but you know, every once in a while, you know, you're supposed to be one of the better tight ends in the league. Go downfield, take a shot.
I don't understand that. And they run the crosser all the time. Those shallow crosses.
You see, it's a ton of times.
Does Carson have an issue throwing on those shallow crosses or to the back, those shorter throws? I don't know. He hasn't been accurate with them.
Or maybe you'd rather go downfield. And what did we see last week? And we saw chunk plays with the Fulgham. We saw him take four shots downfield to Hightower. Or three. Unfortunately, one was overthrown. The one that was dropped. And then there's one where it was good coverage. But, I mean, we've seen him take shots downfield with these guys. It's going to be interesting how the Ravens play a guy like Fulgham. They're obviously going to still have heavy watch on DeSean Jackson, even though he's been in and out constantly. He's still a threat to go downfield. So maybe it does open up things for Ertz. I don't know. This offense has been weird when it comes to Ertz. I mean, he's had lack of production all season long. One catch, 6 yards last week.
I don't think he's a quitter. Do you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. There were some effort plays. Like somebody posted a video from the All-22 of him going. It was a run for Sanders to the right, and he was supposed to block someone, and he kind of just shoved his arm out. He didn't. But we've always known that he's not a good blocker, right? So was that effort, or was that just he's not a good blocking tight end, like we've been saying since he got drafted?
Yeah, I just don't think he's quitting. That's all. All right, 610-632-0975. I'm going to give you the five again. I got a nominee for the Phillies GM, all right? And I need somebody to take the five. I got the five questions. I want to hear about fans. Fans are back. I miss Eagles fans. Let's talk about Exiva, shall we? I tell you about it all the time. I'm a big believer in it. Big believer, because we're stressed and run down, exhausted, the whole thing. And you get dehydrated, right? And your body needs some of the essentials. Well, this is Exiva Vitamin Infusion Therapy. It's a game changer. Flooding your body with the vitamins and nutrients, amino acids, hydration you need to boost your immune system, elevate your mood, elevate your energy level, replenish your reserves. Is it safe? Yeah. We're talking vitamins and nutrients and hydration administered by a board-certified nurse at one of Exiva's modern infusion suites. So the beauty of Exiva is, what are you looking for, right? You're looking for, to me, energy and hydration and that sort of thing. Drink a lot of coffee, you're drinking at night, beers and whatever else. You know, this is what those vitamins that you need, you get in an IV that takes 45 minutes, and it's relaxing. You just leave, you know, you kind of check out. It's one of these suites. There's a flat screen. I just shut my eyes. You get away from society, get away from life, 45 minutes, and you feel refreshed. It's great. Exiva.com is how you find out all about it. AXIVA.com. Exiva, replenish, recharge, relief.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's noon across the Delaware Valley. Crush Radio with the tune is hanging out with you guys. All right, a couple things. One, it's a Football Friday, and the Football Fridays on the Fanatic, driven by AAA. Wherever the open road takes you, take AAA. So, what do you sense? Because I sense a healthy attitude towards Sunday. I think most people can't recognize how good the Ravens are. There's some hope that, you know, maybe you game plan closer, right? You can game plan a win. It wouldn't be a miracle. But, you know, if you're able to, you know, pull off the upset, you're an 8-point underdog at home. If you're able to pull off the upset, you'd feel good about the division. 8 points, man. That line went up again.
Yeah, I honestly do kind of think it's a miracle game. And like I wasn't there last week. Obviously, I was down in the dumps, but I'm in a different place. I'm in a different state of mind. I'm in good mood. I still think it's a miracle win. But if they win, I think it's one of those games where you could really take that and go forward with it. Then it's a lock. You beat the Giants. It's a lock. You beat the Cowboys.
It's all about your definition of what a miracle win is.
Right. I don't see
like,
these.
To me, the miracle win is the Jets beating Kansas City or the Jets beating, you know, the Jets are so bad. Like, that's a miracle. In the NFL, stuff happens.
Right.
And like, an 8-point dog winning outright
is not a total
miracle. It's not a miracle. It's a healthy upset. But it's not a miracle.
Yeah, I think I'm looking at miracle just from my own perspective, right? Like last week, I thought the Steelers won. It would win a close game. I had them the scores 24-20. But a game like that, I still had that, even though I had my doubts that the Eagles would win that game, I still had that feeling like, all right, one thing could go the Eagles' way. Maybe they have the ball with the last couple of seconds left and they can score a touchdown. Maybe that's the big breakout game for Carson. And it didn't happen. Didn't go the way that I thought, but I thought they played well. This week, I don't think there's a Eagles have a shot at the end of the game. I don't think there's a, Eagles will have the lead and it's just Lamar Jackson's puts his foot on the gas pedal and comes back and wins or maybe the Eagles hold on late. I don't have that feeling at all. Quite frankly, it's probably a double-digit loss. But I'm going to forget that right now, which is why I go miracle win because I think it's a double-digit loss right now.
Mm.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, listen. It's an obvious thing, right? Like, obviously, the Ravens are really good. The quarterback's really good. The defense is fabulous. Like, I love Marlon Humphrey, who was taken after Derek Barnett, by the way.
Yes, he was. And just got a big contract.
Yeah, well, he's a hell of a player. So, you know, I mean, but again, are you buying it all? The underdog? The Doug underdog magic?
It happens every year.
You know, is that possible?
He does it every year, so maybe this could be that game. Maybe it could be. I don't know.
It's the underdog magic.
Hungry dogs run faster, right?
I don't know. At some point, you go to the well, there's nothing there. But I don't know. Maybe there's something left. All right, let me give you the five. This is the five for today. And we got a couple open lines if you want to snag them and take it. 610-632-0975 is how you join us. The fans are back Sunday. I want your best fan story. One of the crazy stories that you witnessed or you were at an Eagles game. There's something about having fans back that I love. Honestly, football's the one sport where I think I miss the fans the most. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, because of all the pomp and circumstances, right? It's not just the game. It's even the tailgating. You don't tailgate the way you do for baseball, basketball, and hockey like you would for football. So everything that goes into it, I don't know what the rules are going to be like. I don't think they're going to allow tailgating. But, you know, just the thought that there will be fans there makes me feel a certain type of way. It's great. No, yeah. It's beautiful.
All right, give me your fan story.
You know, I don't have one really for an Eagles fan. Remember, I go back to this story when I went to Pittsburgh and I had that nasty Steelers fan behind me that just kept on going.
hey, you came all the way out here to watch the Eagles lose. You came all the way out here. And it just pissed me off so much. I was a young little boy, 8 years old, and she went so far. Just kept on, I'm going to take that Westbrook jersey away from you. And to the point.
I've heard this story like 10 times.
Yeah.
And you are traumatized by this woman.
Yeah. She ruined my life. I made a trip, 6-hour drive to Pittsburgh, or however long it was. She got me soda afterwards.
She made you. Nice. She made such an impact on you.
Oh, yeah. When I watched that Steelers game last week, I was like, she must be sitting in that seat still, yelling at some other Eagles fan now. But from another fan, even though I wasn't at the game, I still remember that LA game when, remember, they had to hire actors to pretend to be Rams fans.
Yeah.
I wasn't there, but like that's the kind of game that I remember in terms of fandom. Like, yeah, Eagles fans showed up. It was great.
The Eagle fans are amazing. All the legendary stories.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've seen my share of fights at all the different stadiums and all that stuff.
I'm not talking about fights. I'm just talking about, you know, everything. That Eagle fan. I have a couple bad memories.
Right.
You know. But a couple times she make you cry, man. You know, when they win and finally go to the Super Bowl in 04 on that frigid day against the Falcons, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And the crowd, you got chills. All right, question number two. You're the Lord of 4-for-4. You get one move to make. Any move you want. Trade, signing, a dismissal. What are you doing?
Can I have Sixto back, please?
Reverse the JT Realmuto trade.
Do we have the receipt still? Listen, I love JT. He's my favorite player on that team. I'm getting concerned, more and more concerned that he's not back. You know, John Middleton's postseason press conference, it's not like that gave me any confidence. He set it up all the way. Oh, I wouldn't have made that trade had I known that we wouldn't be able to get him back in 2 years. But, you know, the market, the way things are going right now, he's setting it up that they can't re-sign him. And there was a story, Corey Simon put out a story the other day. The Yankees GM was saying how they definitely want to make improvements at the catcher position. And so the New York Yankees have a lot of money. And if JT Realmuto is that guy that they're going to target, that's kind of tough to deal with. So I'm going to go with reversing the trade because I do get that ace back. And, you know, best wishes to JT because I don't think he's coming back at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
If he comes back, I still do the trade. But I'm getting to the point where I don't think he comes back. And I go, uh-oh. All right, give me Sixto back, please.
Yeah.
I'd go back and, you know, sign DeAndre Hopkins, or I'd go back and draft DK Metcalf.
How about going forward? You get one move.
Yeah, I'd reverse.
No, but you get one move like right now that you can't reverse. That already happened.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to fire Schwartz through 5 weeks.
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out to you. You want to sign? You want to trade? You want to do what? You can affect the actions of the team right now.
For your Philadelphia Eagles?
Yeah, no reversals. Like, you can't reverse it. Like, you could sign Realmuto, but you can't reverse it.
I didn't mind that Barnwell trade that he proposed yesterday. You get a linebacker in Hassan Reddick. You move on from Ertz, but you also get a third-round pick in return.
All right.
Unfortunately, I'm at the point where you move on from Ertz.
Kind of weak as the Lord of 4-for-4, but all right. Here you go. Do you have any signs for me? Do you have a sign for any of the 4-for-4 teams? When a guy called and he saw
an eagle.
He
scooped up a wraith.
Yeah, I saw an eagle. It was a beautiful bald eagle devouring a creature. It wasn't a raven. He said later it was a raven, but he actually saw
it was a raven.
The eagle devouring a creature.
You know what? I'll give you a sign.
Give it to me, brother.
So this morning, I've told this story in the past. I remember when my wife, at the time, I don't know if it was girlfriend or fiance, she washed the Eagles hoodie. And Carson blew out his knee that week. So it's now week, we're heading into week 6. I haven't done the wear the sweatshirt every week because I thought that magic was gone after that. So today, before I left for work, I threw in a pile of laundry into the wash. So I wanted to get the day going. And sure enough, I picked up the Eagles hoodie. It was in the pile. And I put it in. And I'm hoping that that Eagles sweatshirt, which I will wear this Sunday at 1 o'clock, the sins of the first 5 weeks got washed away. So as a man who never washes that damn hoodie during football season, I haven't been following that this year. I washed the hoodie today, and hopefully that is then the sign of things to come, that the birds have the good luck hoodie again.
All right. I like it. I'll take it. We need a speech. Today's National Boss Day. Give me the speech, somebody.
You want me to play one for you?
That will rivet you. Yes.
I won't go too far from Philadelphia. Sure enough, I'll be in Philadelphia itself.
Scoring chances that period were 7-1 for the opposition. Do you know why, Hertzie? Because it's about as casual as it gets. As casual as it gets. In Boston, we said, all right, got mixed in the schedule. Let's turn the page. Somebody tell me, what the f*** is the difference now? What's the problem now? I want to see people rip their heart out of their chest this period. And if you don't, you're probably not going to like your ice time. Take your first shift. You'll get it. Earn the second one. I'm not putting up with it. It's too much horse. It's too much. Don't allow it. D-zone coverage, soft down low. Out to the points, casual strides. We don't want to block a shot because it hurts. One game, Boston. All right, let's move on. Tonight, unacceptable. Not going to happen. We're way better than what we just showed. Every guy in here knows it, and you should not accept it. Don't. You got 20 minutes. You win a period, you win a game, we move on. But you need to dig in right now, every guy. Enough is enough. Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
Wow, that was outrageous.
Yeah, I think Lavi could do that.
Oh, my God. We've seen him do timeouts. That was fantastic. I won't ask you about the play or the score of the game. I'll leave that be. Pete in Princeton, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. PD!
What's up, guys? How are you?
How you doing, man?
Yeah, you know, I'm a high school coach. I coach football and softball. So when I hear you guys talking about this, and you coach your son now, so you know, and we always talk about the same phrase, Jesses and Joes beat X's and O's. You can call all the plays you want. I'll take the talented players, and I'll beat you 99% of the time. Do you know why the Eagles are going to beat the Giants and the Cowboys? Because, well, A, the Cowboys don't have their starting quarterback, and we had better players than them. Do you know why we're going to lose to the Raiders? Because they have better players than us. Okay? I don't get the whole, you know, Doug's going to call a great game because we have lesser players, and then he'll make us win. Players
okay.
win.
Here's the thing, Pete. And this is where I disagree. And, well, first of all, it's an obvious statement that players win. But they don't win all the time.
Well, okay.
They don't win all the time. Why? Let me ask you a question. Why are you a jerk off? Right. Why? I mean, I just don't understand why you are a sports guy. What in the world would you argue about the point that players win games? No, duh, players win games. What don't you understand? That what? There's never any upsets in a game? That never happens? Coaches can't scheme? I've seen it a million times, dude. So go coach your softball, go coach your football, and get out of my face. I mean, I'm serious, Pete. I love you, but you come across as the biggest a-hole this side of Michigan. I mean, I'm serious. What is that? I don't get it. Players win. Well, duh. You've never seen an upset in all the sports that you've watched your whole life? Guess what? The Eagles had better players than Washington, didn't they, Pete? And they got beat, Pete. Stop. Stop. It's ridiculous. This 101 nonsensical. And here's the other thing you never get when you call and try to be an elitist softball coach is you don't understand that it's fandom, dude. The whole thing's supposed to be fun. The whole thing is supposed to be a good time. that when you look at Sunday, if you're a freaking Eagles fan, what do you want to do? Do you want to just say, I want to lose the game? No. You want to go into it with any kind of hope, any kind of scrap. Give me something that will make me believe. Give me something that I can hold on to. Something. Because you know why? Because they're fans, right? And you know why we do this every Friday? Knowing that they're an 8-point underdog. It doesn't take a friggin' softball coach to understand that the Eagles are an underdog. But what it does, it's the art of hope. It's the art of loving thy team and hoping that there's something else. That's what it is. So until you want to get off your high horse as the coach of the softball team, don't call anymore. Because it's every time you call. I like you, but I got at this point, unless you're going to apologize to the people. It's not, I don't care. This is about the people. And every time you want to rip other fans, I'm not going to put up with it. It's nonsense. People are fans, all right? They root for their teams. Let them enjoy themselves. Why do you got to be the a-hole fun policeman, right? Why you got to do that? Let's go to Chris. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Chris.
How you doing, buddy? Cheer
What's
up,
happening,
man?
Buddy? I am cheered up.
Hey, Pete, if you're still listening, every time it rains, I say to you, drip, drip, drip. But
What's going on, my brother?
Anyway, I'm a fast-pitch softball coach over in Jersey with my kids. If you have 14, 16, or 18 team, come play me, man. I'll double down. I'll pen run you.
now we get the battle of softball coaches. I love it. Okay.
Oh, yeah, they can come out, and we travel. We travel from Florida all the way up to New York to Alabama, so we'll even come to your field, so don't make you look bad on your own turf. Be happy once in a while, Pete. My God. Cuz, just between me, you, and Andrew, the White Snake, he ain't playing this week, and I'm not doing it. I'm going to three safeties. Yes. I'm letting Wallace earn his stripes. Parks is going to be a line. One of them is going to be the linebacker, and I'm going that route. The group. What do you think?
I listen, I think you're right. I think the fact that you got Parks back should help the free safety. You have so much, you know, riding on the free safety thing.
I can't do the White Snake no more, man. I get chills.
Yeah, I hear you, brother. I hear you.
So I think if we run the ball, if Doug just continues to run the ball, don't get away from the run just because we had a -2 run. Just keep the ball out of the Ravens' hands, and let's win ugly. And I guess what? For some reason, everybody's laughing at me at my shop. I like the Birds, not only to cover, to win outright.
You mean an actual upset, even though the Ravens have better players?
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I'm sticking
I
to.
Like it. I like it, Chris.
Telling you, 1913, boys. Fly, Eagles, fly.
That's beautiful.
E-L-E-S, Eagles.
Yeah! There you go. And I don't want to hear if the Eagles lose 35-3, you call them back going, because that's the obvious thing. What he just did, Chris, was enjoy his Friday and make other fans smile. All right?
I smiled.
And yourself, and there are times when the upsets do happen. And just maybe, Chris is right. There are times when winter's coming and the howling winds, and we've been through that before. And it's scary. And the rains, like it is today, and the snow and the ice. And you got to make sure your roof is ready for winter. Winter is coming. If your roof's not ready, don't fret. Do what plenty of satisfied Fanatic listeners have done over the years. Call Anthony at Labruciano Roofing. the most trusted name in roofing in Pennsylvania. As soon as you meet Anthony, you're going to see why. He's got hundreds of five-star Google reviews. Anthony meets with every single customer personally to be certain you get the right roofing solution to protect your home for decades. And LaBruciana Roofing is a CertainTeed five-star select shingle master, and that means they can offer the best warranty in the business. With 50 years from the manufacturer, 25 years on the workmanship, go with the only roofing expert I recommend. It's LaBruciana Roofing. Call 610-265-ROOF or go to paroofpros.com. paroofpros.com. LaBruciana Roofing, the shingle master.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 12:30 across the Delaware Valley, and with a great surprise, Tuesday night, I was digging some Tuesday night football, but Tuesday night, I turn in, I'm all excited because, you know, I'm close with Sean McDermott and the McDermott family, and always looking for the Bills, and it's Bills Titans, and who do I hear? What familiar siren did I hear? But our man, Tom McCarthy, on the CBS Tuesday Night Football broadcast, and he was absolutely fabulous, like he is on college basketball in a tournament, and like he is all the time on Phillies baseball. T-Mac, what do you say, brother?
Hey, what's going on, man? Long time no talk.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought you're terrific at, man. You're really good football. Really good.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate it. I'll be honest with you. The whole process was pretty sweet from a CBS standpoint. Because as you know, I mean, they could have easily had Jim and Tony just go from their game on Sunday to the game on Tuesday. I mean, they could have easily have done that. I really appreciated the fact that they left us on that because we were pretty tuned up for it. It didn't go anywhere near the way I thought it was going to go as far as the outcome goes.
But, yeah.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was pretty cool. I mean, I love mixing in some football and basketball into my baseball. And, you know, CBS has been a really good partner for me over the last 10 years, because I'm the seventh crew, which means I don't miss much baseball, and that's by design. So it's pretty neat. It was pretty cool to be there.
Yeah. And, you know, the fact is that, you know, the NFL, everybody's watching, right? Like, you go from a game which would have been big in the markets and all things, but now it's the whole country. Is there any of that just kind of at all you ever think about? You just put everything out of your mind and you've done a million of them, but does any of that creep into your subconscious at all?
You know, I really tried not to, and partly because I think if it was 20 years ago, it probably would have more. And I'm not trying to downplay it at all because it was a pretty humbling experience to be able to do it, quite honestly. And I mean, I've done a lot of really good, cool events over my lifetime, but it was really neat to be part of that. So I tried not to make it any bigger. You know, I told the crew, let's just make it a normal regional game that we've done. I mean, we had so much stuff to get in and so much information to get in. Let's just be like we normally are. And we have a really good crew. We have a solid crew that's done a lot of big games during the course of their career and behind the scenes. So yeah, there was probably a few moments where I thought, okay, this is pretty sweet. Because at the end of the game, I mean, I had so many text messages and Twitter comments, you know, Instagram, that it was definitely different than it was doing a regional game that goes to 10% of the country.
You're fantastic. You really are. And it was funny because there is here, you know, there's like this immense pride, right? It's like one of our guys doing the national thing. And it made me think of Harry because was the voice of NFL Films. And you know that. I mean, you know, he was really good at calling football games.
He was great at calling football. And, you know, I remember when, you know, growing up listening to him do the Notre Dame games, you know, he would miss Phillies games almost every weekend in September because he would do the, you know, the Notre Dame games. And it wasn't until later on that he would, you know, that he wouldn't miss as many games in September to do the NFL on Westwood One and his NFL film stuff. I mean, you know, you think about him and John Facenda, you know, the fact that one went to the other. I mean, gosh, you talk about voices from God. I mean, just the ability to tell a story with just the tone of their voice. So, you know, and Harry and I used to talk about it all the time because I was doing Westwood One games with basically he was doing one, I was doing another, or I was doing college while he was doing the NFL. So we used to talk about that all the time. And I just think it makes you, for me anyway, I've done it my whole life where I've done football, basketball, and baseball. I feel like it makes me sharper as a broadcaster. And I'm doing less now as I've gotten older, but I'm getting to do a little bit more high profile stuff, which is kind of neat. I mean, it's neat to be able to dabble in that. Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic. Tom McCarthy with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. And I'd like you, like, when you look at, I could tell that you love all those sports. Like, there is something about, and growing up here, I don't know what it is, T-Mac, but we love the four team sports, right? Like, so much. And so, you know, I can hear your enthusiasm when you're doing baseball or basketball or football, how much you love the game.
Yeah, and they're all different. You know, but football to me is just a totally different animal, just because of the meetings. You know, meeting people like Sean. I mean, Sean and I've done a bunch of his games over the last few years, and I absolutely love what he's doing in Buffalo, and I think the world of him. But it's the meetings, it's practice, it's film. It's so different than doing a nightly baseball game, and that's what I like. I like the fact that it's different. It's not the same every week, and when I'm done, you know, you're mentally just drained from all of the information that you have in your mind. And you know, just the game itself. So it's cool. I mean, there's definitely a sort of a natural high that you get by doing those games.
Tommy, first of all, I will say, and I had some bad news, and you, a man of the press box, particularly at Phillies games, but all events, Jackie Shore, who was a great man, long-time fixture. He used to work for the Associated Press. What a great, great guy. Jackie was a fixture for the last, 50 years at the press box, the vet, and then the link in Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah, and you know, he used to go from college basketball game to college basketball game, and he would always be there. And he always had the same kind of attitude, the same kind of smile, and, you know, just the same kind of energy. And we used to marvel, you know, that he would be 80 years old and still moving as if he's 30 years old, and shooting baskets at the Palestra and things like that. You know, wonderful.
Great head of hair.
Great guy.
You're right.
Great head of hair. Great head. Loved Sinatra.
Yeah, he was cool, you know, man.
Great head of hair. I mean, just a sweet family. And he always had a trivia question for you, Ann. You know what I mean? Like, he always had a trivia question, and he would get together with, you know, whether it be Frankie in the lunchroom at Citizens Bank Park or, you know, whoever. And they would sort of, you know, he goes, hey, did you hear Jackie's trivia question? And Jackie's up to get it again. It's just that he's one of those guys that you knew when you went to the ballpark or went to a basketball game, you'd see him. And you'd just be happy to see his face and his smile. And, you know, he's what made, in a lot of ways, he's what makes this city so great. The coverage of the team so great in this city.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Going to miss him. What a great, great man. Jackie Shore, RIP, we love you. And the family, wish our best. T-Mac, what was this baseball season like for you?
I would say disappointing, you know, in a lot of ways. I mean, because, you know, we were so excited to get it going, even though it was only 60 games. And, you know, Joe Girardi, rock star. I mean, just a rock star. We're really lucky to have him. But I think at the end, I think if you had to tabulate anything about it, it was disappointing because they had the pieces offensively. I didn't feel as comfortable pitching-wise going into the season as, you know, some people did. I thought that there were holes in the pitching staff, as it turned out there were. You know, so I think the fact that there were three bullpen games in the last couple weeks of the season, it just didn't work. I mean, it works for the Rays. It sometimes works for the Dodgers,
well,
they had
a bullpen.
Guess.
You have to have a great bullpen to have a bullpen game.
It was just disappointing because I really felt like Wheeler, Nola, you got a chance. particularly in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, maybe it wouldn't have. Who knows? But, you know, this drought's getting longer and longer, and it's obviously something that I hope the Phillies take care of in the next couple of years, the next year.
I know. I mean, there's nothing like October baseball.
Oh.
And, you know, when that ballpark, which is still Xanadu in my eyes, is dressed up. I mean, I love it. It's dressed up in bunting. I mean, it's the greatest. And you have series play. I go back to those 08s, 09s, 10s, and those runs, man. They were so much fun. What a blast.
It was great. And I know it would have been different this year, but how cool would it have been if we had, you know, something to root for even more in October? I wanted it for the front office. You know, I wanted it for the guys in the marketing department and the guys in the sales department, the ticket office. I wanted it for all the fans that, you know, obviously everybody's gone through, you know, so much over the last few months, and we're finally getting out of it. And you just wanted it for everybody that, you know, that loves the team and loves the city so much, because it would have been great.
I know. Tell me, what's your schedule coming up? I'm curious. You have any games on the schedule?
So right now I've got November 1st on radio. I think it's a Sunday night game, which hopefully will stay a Sunday night game. I mean, obviously it depends on flex.
Each
week I'm actually on call for CBS. So if, God forbid, something happens to one of the play-by-play guys, as far as COVID-19 goes or anything like that, then I step in. But I do it from my studio in my basement. So I kind of prepare for each of the games in one way, shape, or form. My next actual game on TV probably won't be until sometime November, December, because, you know, I'll do like 5 games a year. And I mean,
it
really is perfect for me as far as, you know, getting a chance to do a full baseball season and then getting a chance to mix in football and basketball.
That's cool, man. All right, you got to do me one favor. And I do the Friday 5. There's a couple questions that I have to ask you, and I'm curious of a couple answers. One, give me your best fan story ever. Craziest fan story you ever witnessed.
Wow, that's a really good one. Oh, man.
This is in honor of the fans coming back to the link this weekend.
All right, so how about this? It doesn't really have anything to do with Philadelphia, but it was a Thanksgiving game. And there's a fan outside. I was doing a Cowboy, I don't know, maybe it was Cowboys Eagles. I don't know. It was Cowboys somebody on Thanksgiving Day. And I'm outside the stadium, and this guy thought I was Pitbull. And he sat there, and he was hammered. But I took a photo with him. I signed something for him. It was hysterical. Great. I mean, there's so many others. I mean,
fantastic.
Yeah, but we're out in the, I mean, that's, I mean, just the fan in general. I mean, just the fact that they, I don't know, they just love it so much.
Yeah, I know. All right, last one. Let me give you this one. So today's National Boss Day. We were talking about great coaches and coaches who give great speeches. Like, give T-Mac a little snippet of one. All right?
Scoring chances that period were 7-1. For the opposition. Do you know why, Hertzie? Because it's about as casual as it gets.
All right. You got to deliver. You need somebody to deliver the speech to rally the troops. Who do you got?
Oh, I got Herb Brooks, man. I mean, that movie is, to me, still gives me chills. I mean, you know, you don't have to be the best team 10 times. You just got to be the best team one time. And that's when the United States beat Russia in the 1980 Olympics.
I love it, T-Mac. Great stuff, brother. Listen, great catching up with you. We're very proud of you. And just keep up the great work, buddy, okay?
All right, Ant.
Thanks, brother.
I appreciate it, buddy.
Take it easy. T-Mac with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. And since we have a moment like this, let's hear Herb Brooks from the movie Miracle.
Great moments are born from great opportunity. And that's what you have here tonight, boys. That's what you've earned here tonight. One game. If we played them 10 times, they might win 9. But not this game. Not tonight. Tonight,
we skate with them. Tonight, we stay with them. And we shut them down because we can. Tonight, we are the greatest hockey team in the world. And you were meant to be here tonight. Their time is done. It's over. I'm sick and tired of hearing about what a great hockey team the Soviets have. Screw them. This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
That's outrageous. Don't mean it's 10 out of 10 times. Why? That goes out to Pete from Princeton.
Damn right.
It's so funny that we were doing that today, which is, you know, hearing those speeches and the movies. It's great stuff. It's great theater. Oh, it's great. Black, gritty, deep in these streets. BG.
Man, there's so much stuff to get through, cuz. Let me roll through it. First of all, it's my birthday tomorrow, so that's why I've been incognito this weekend.
Oh, happy birthday, BG.
Appreciate you, brother. Secondly, the kids almost got that four-wheeler, dog. The Steelers almost took an L for like three quarters, man. I was thinking about Max running them bucks, boy. I was going to hook the kids up. Ooh, I got a hook, I guess. Secondly, I know what's wrong with Tunis. I know what's wrong with the young Thundercat. He was befecked by a witch that was a Steeler, so he eats cold chili, old people, candy bars. I know what's wrong. So we got to have, like, exorcism or something.
Yes!
That woman missed him wholeheartedly
as a child.
She
possessed him, Black Gritty.
Now he eating ice cream, chili,
yes,
and old people candy. We got to fix you, brother. Yes. I'm on the lookout for exorcist. I'm going to get you. I'm going to take care of you, brother.
Take care of the young Thundercat.
Did to you. That's right. Whatever she did to you. Now, I don't know if you know this, but don't plan on driving your car on Sunday or Monday, because the Raiders about to beat the brakes off us, bro. Don't get in the car. Don't drive. Don't take public transportation, because they about to beat the brakes off us. And sometimes it's okay to take an L, and I believe in miracles, and if we get a miracle, I will dance all over these streets, cuz. But in reality, I'm just upset with the team because we seem to be really messed up. Howie's down here picking guys to play on the team and saying, these guys got to play, a la Hollins over Ward last year, and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside because he drafted them. And getting on Doug's nerve. They don't let Doug pick his own coaches. They fire his coaches. They don't tell him what's going on. And I just feel very Cowboys Jerry Jones meddling instead of letting my coach coach. Let these fogum and get the good people out there on the field. I want the best available on the field. I want who the coach believes is on the field. I don't want the office guy telling me, who doesn't know how to pick players, which players are on the field. Okay?
Let the
Jones out here balling in, Jones out here balling in Jacksonville. Aguilar on caught four balls and got everybody upset. I mean, I just want to develop who we got, and I won't let our coach coach. But that's all I got for right now. But Tunis, we're going to fix you, brother.
Let's get the exorcist.
Yeah.
Let's
do it. By the way, I'm a softball coach. I'm a champion softball coach. My girls won. I'm a high school Hall of Famer. Okay, so why don't you talk about these softball now? Okay, you call him a soccer coach. Don't be insulting.
I'm not insulting. No. Hear me out. First of all, he's a softball coach. He talks about I think it's awesome. He coaches football, too. I think it's great that you coach youth, right? Hey. I think it's a beautiful thing. So I wasn't taking it as a slight. It was more, and this is what bothers me, of this picking on all the fans because they just want to be a fan.
Hey. Like, and let me tell you something important.
Like, I've been around coaches my whole life, right? NFL coaches, NBA coaches, and they don't walk around with the attitude that Pete has.
Let me just roll off the cliche train for you before I say goodbye. Winners win. Defense wins championships. And you got to play. The best availability is availability. Love you guys.
Love you, KFG and VG. I mean, yeah. Real coaches, real professional coaches don't walk around with that attitude. Sandro, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sandro.
Yo, cuz, long time listener, first time caller.
What's happening, Sandro?
I'll do the best, sir. I'm a huge fan of you, man. I love your show.
Thank you, my brother.
No problem. This is why I heard you need a sign, right?
Yeah, you have a sign for me?
I got a sign. I'm not sure if you guys are a little superstitious. I kind of find myself to be. So the other day
I am. I am completely superstitious.
All right, cool. So I got one good one for you. So I think it was Tuesday. I was listening to your show, and a lot of fans were calling in, you know, saying how they were feeling good about the game, you know, how we, you know, we could possibly win. So I looked outside, and I happened to be rocking my Eagles Super Bowl hat. And as I'm working outside, I feel a big thump on my head. And I'm like, is that raining? What was that? And I take off my Super Bowl hat. And a darn bird poked on my head. I said, I got mad at first. I said, oh, man, this hat was clean. I did my best to keep it clean. But then all of a sudden, I remembered the show. And I said, hey, I'll take it as a sign for this Sunday. You know what I'm saying?
Yes! Yes! And it's good luck! Getting pooped on by the bird is good luck, man! I love it, Sandro. Yes.
I'm feeling good. I mean, I think really, to be honest with you, I know the obvious is Ravens are the better team. I get that. I understand that. That's a non-negotiable. Lamar Jackson is a beast. But I think it really does make a difference that we're going to have fans there. And I think the fans are going to be super excited to see us. It sounds like, you know, with the players' conference and hearing what they had to say, they sound really super excited that the Eagles fans are going to be there. And, you know, I'm still optimistic about Sunday.
You know what? I love it. I love your sign. I love your attitude. Yeah. Sandro, God bless, my brother. Have a great weekend, baby.
Same to you, guys.
Enjoy it, brother. Enjoy it. All right, 610-632-0975. I count two open lines. You want to snag them. Got a big 1 o'clock hour, including the big brain on Brad at 1:15 ish. More speeches and a lot of great calls. All the great teams have a go-to guy when it comes to great tomato pie. You ready? Core Police Bakery in Deli. That's right. Nothing better than the Sunday morning tomato pie. The beauty of the tomato pie item. And I know, Nat, you got to be a tomato pie fan.
Oh, I love a good tomato pie.
It's old school, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. Is that it's good either hot, room temp, or cold. Like the Junis likes it cold. Junis can eat it frozen, like a tomato pie popsicle. I like it hot out of the oven because they, Court Police Bakery, when they bake it, you walk in one of their four locations, Norristown, Limerick, Audubon, Douglasville, that scent wafts through the air. Since 1924, the Corbelli's family has dedicated their lives serving the highest quality tomato pies. All right, have your event catered by Corbelli's Bakery Deli. Your guests will be raving about how good the food was. Perfect for any gathering. Desserts, ridiculous as well. You're going to love all of them. The great teams, all of them. I have a great go-to guy when it comes to great tomato pie. My friends at Corbelli's Bakery Deli, my go-to guy. See more at corbellisbakery.com.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
I don't want them to gain another yard.
You blitz all night! If they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm going to take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever.
Chills, students. Come on, man. I love Coach Yost. Give me some Coach Moon. I love Coach Moon.
Oh, if the computer didn't freeze on me. There you go.
We got him.
This is Gettysburg. This is where they fought the Battle of Gettysburg. 50,000 men died right here on this field, fighting the same fight that we're still fighting amongst ourselves today. This green field right here is painted red, bubbling with the blood of young boys, smoke, and hot lead pouring right through their bodies. Listen to their souls, man. I killed my brother with malice in my heart. Hatred destroyed my family. You listen. You take a lesson from the dead. If we don't come together right now on this hollow ground, we too will be destroyed. Just like they were. I don't care if you like each other or not, but you will respect each other. And maybe, I don't know, maybe you won't. Learn to play this game like men.
Wow. That's awesome. That's great stuff. I hope you're enjoying it. We're playing all of our speeches today. It's National Boss Day, and Chewis and I got on the subject of the pregame speeches. And so we kind of dig it. Like, who would you give the speech to in a game that really mattered? In a game that you really needed?
Sometimes I need a speech to get out of bed.
Yes. Yes.
Andrew, I need you to get to work today.
And then I call you.
Yes.
And you're like,
you fight for that inch to your car. And then you drive to work for 7 minutes.
You walk up that hill and yes. Matty up. Lenny in Bustleton, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Lenny?
It's Echo Lenny. What's up, boy?
Oh, my God. Echo Lenny. What's happening, brother?
I got a coach speech from a movie. You guys got to guess which one it's from. I haven't heard it yet.
Do it.
You ready?
Yes.
Here it is. We're not just going out there to win. We're going out there for glory. We're going to yank them and tear them and rip them. And then we're going to roll them around and rip them to pieces. And then we're going to slaughter them. And after the slaughtering is over, we're going to go downtown and ring that Liberty Bell.
Wow. Look at that. Echo Lenny Tunis. You got it?
What's the movie?
Come on, Tunis. Tunis.
Got to cheer him up.
Come on, Tunis. For Echo Lenny.
Coach Calhoun.
Come on, Tunis. Tunis.
Come on.
Come on, man.
No guesses?
Get it. He's getting it, brother. He's getting it for you, Echo Lenny.
Greece.
He's getting it for you.
My prediction, 30 Pain. To 27 birds.
30, 27 birds.
Outright.
Echo Lenny. Look at this. Our man from the other side. That's right. Sam in England. Sammy.
Man, how you doing, mate? How
What's
you
doing? Going on, my life? Friend?
I've been just trying to deal with life, man. You know, like you said like yesterday, like, you know, we're starting to get the second peak, they reckon, second wave coming in. So, just trying to deal with that. I lost it with my nan as well shortly after she got COVID. She survived
it. She did? Oh, my God.
But they reckon that, you know, the body just, after getting that at her age in her 80s, that's it. Like, even if you survive it at that age, it's not, you know, your body just gets so run down from it. It doesn't really fully recover, I don't think. So, yeah, it's been tough.
I'm sorry, bro. That sucks.
Thank you. That's why I haven't had a chance. Well, I listen every day, man. You've been there keeping me going, even after the bad six this season and the way that the Eagles have started, it's been a bit bad. But I thought, you know what, today's the day to call up. I was going to wait for a big Eagles win after Sunday, but I thought, you know what, I'll call up just in case we don't get that win. I'll call up today and speak to my man.
Oh, and see how you're going. I appreciate that. Man, I miss you, buddy. I'm glad you did. I was thinking of you the other day with, last week, I was watching the Ted Lasso. Did you see this on Apple TV?
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Right. So it's about an American football coach who doesn't know anything about soccer, and he's coaching the Premier League. And it's actually it's a fun show. It actually is pretty good.
It is good, and actually, it's filmed at Crystal Palace, who Josh Harris and
yes.
That they own them. So yeah, I'm sure they got a few bob from agreeing the film in there. But yeah, no, it's definitely a good show. I do like it. It's his speeches probably wouldn't be as good as remember the Titans or anything like that. But they're funny, right? So. But I was going to say, what's making me unsure on? The players must not be following protocol in the NFL because we don't have a bubble over here for Premier League or any of Europe, really. Don't have any bubbles for their football, for soccer. And yes, the teams, the squads are smaller, but they're not breaking any rules. We're getting the odd COVID case here and there. But they're shutting down. They're doing the protocol. I just don't know why this is happening.
Today the newest thing was the Patriots just shut down their facility after a positive test. Now their game with Denver is in doubt. The Colts shut down theirs earlier. You saw that. And the Falcons reopened. We'll see where that stands. But now you got potentially three games possibly in jeopardy for Sunday.
This is why I'm 1-4 in fantasy football.
Yeah. I know. It's messed up, man. It really is messed up. It really is.
But yeah, I mean, hopefully the games go. But obviously I only care about one game on Saturday, and that's against the Ravens. I need you to give me some hope, man. Like, how are we going to win this game? Is the White Snake going to be smashing down the?
And the White Snake is not the answer, right? The answer is pressuring Lamar Jackson, right? But doing something that Schwartz doesn't like to do, which is. Blitz, and you got to pressure him. I think the three safety look will help a little bit. Getting Will Parks back should help a little bit.
Is he playing Sunday? Is he?
It looks like he's playing, yeah.
That's good, because I don't want, the only thing I'm going to, here we go again as you play when the White Snakes reference comes on. That's what Amar's going to say in his huddle pre-game. It's here we go again. It's the same route. White Snake again, I don't know, because that last week, man, I don't know. Look, I've only been in NFL since 2010, and even I know, and there you go, should not be, marking or covering, however you guys word it, a wide receiver like that, especially someone who scored three touchdowns
against exactly.
and runs 10 times quicker, I'm probably faster than Nate Gary, and I'm 16, he's a big guy, he's muscly, but he's not going to stop quick people, so.
Well, again, he was a safety in college, which is amazing to me that.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was a safety in college, and there's not a lot of guys he can stick,
Well, listen, the one positive I wanted to say is very quickly is Doc Rivers, I look forward to him coaching. We need him. He's going to do well for the Sixers. So that's one positive.
I agree, brother. I like Doc. I'm hoping that Doc can unlock Ben Simmons. He unlocks Ben, it'll be all right.
Indeed. All right, well, hopefully the Birds
can give you
a bit of hope.
Appreciate it, my brother.
See you later,
Birds, baby. See you, Sammy. That's Sam from England, one of the big Birds fans from the other side. Love Sammy.
So, forgive me. I didn't have the speech from Greece.
Hold on. How about this one? How about the speech and this from, you ready? Gabriel, I would choose William Wallace for a pregame speech.
What will you do without freedom? Will you fight? Against that? No! We will run! And we will live. Alright? Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance? Just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
That was awesome. That was awesome. Love it. Let's go to Frank in Westchester. Frankie!
Oh, my God! I'm out of my mind!
Go, go! little Frankie.
Every Boone's Gettysburg speech, and my, my man, a young boy, and my man's dressing down speech to Pete is outrageous. You got me, son. Oh, we got to keep the alacrity going, boys. Yo, Hoss, you got to be Aldo's on Pados, or whatever your cousin's name is. Come on, man. You're better than that. Oh, my God.
What's his name? Dados.
And what? Aldona? Yeah. Sounds like a wine region near Napa. Jim from the Palm, you miserable. I hope they find a fly in one of your suits. Anyway, I got a headache. I'm so with you about the coaches game. My concern is I liken Jim and Doug's play calling to my golf game. Like the first five or six holes, I'm in. I'm focused. Then I just start, you know, I lose my thought. Spray the ball over, start doing beers. It's kind of like, you know, Jim, early in the game last week, guys, he was rushing. He was putting pressure on. And then he got out of it. And Doug, he gets out of his running game. He has no patience for it. So if they can keep, just what you said, Doug, you know, nice run the ball, pass, nice, you know, what's the word I want? Jesus Mary. Go 60% pass, 40 run, whatever. Listen, I'm about to stroke out.
Oh, my God, Frankie, you're the greatest. Jesus, Mary, Joseph. Oh, I love it.
Pressure. He's got to keep pressure on. Now, if I see J.J. Ospega, I know Alshon's not playing, but every time I say his name, I get a permanent lisp. Ospega.
Ospega, correct.
Get more runs than T.F. Smooth, I'll be apoplectic. You know? But I hope Deshaun's playing, and let's go, boy. Let's keep it up.
I like it, Frankie.
All right, riding with me. Come on, young ball. Come on, Greg. I don't know where we're going.
Frankie, you're hysterical. Frankie, breaking it today, baby. That's it. Andrew, what are we doing here, cuz? Are we going to go to our guests or no? Yeah? No? Maybe? Let's go.
Yeah, sorry, dealing with some technical difficulties.
Ah, really?
Yeah, we got MMR playing in the studio. Yeah.
I don't think on air. Does anybody hear it on air?
I don't know. I asked you, I was like, do you hear that?
How are we doing? It's Chucky.
I think we fixed it. So let me I'll call Brad right now. I apologize. So
sit down, put his mic on. What? No, introduce. You can take the man. You know, we're far enough apart.
Far enough apart.
Chuck D'Amico.
Hey, buddy.
Our program director.
How's it going?
How about that? What do you think about Sunday, Chucky?
I'm optimistic about Sunday. I really am. You know, I feel like it's, we didn't have a shot against San Francisco and we won. So I think we're going to win again.
Well, you know, today is, it's funny that you popped in. It's a sign. It's National Boss Day today.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, Joe Bell took the day off. Should I be off? Joe Bell isn't here today.
All right, if you got to rally the people, who's the guy? What speech? Who's delivering the speech?
What? Oh, man. I'm not the man for this.
No. I'm not asking you. Yeah. Give me like we're doing movies. I'm glad you listened.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
I'm glad you listened.
Man, I'm working. I'm working. Give me a hard time, man.
Yeah, let's see. So if you're doing movies,
yeah,
you got to rally the people.
Yeah, give me the speech.
You want the character?
Yes.
Herb Brooks, man.
There you go. Brooks, I love it.
Right?
Yeah. That's right.
It's Herb Brooks.
That's it, man.
Yeah. Do you believe in miracles, man?
That's right. I do.
Yeah, it's Herb Brooks.
Chucky, good stuff, brother.
You too, brother.
All right, have a good weekend, man. All right, check out. It's time now for our 7 picks in 7 minutes. And we check out the big brain on Brad.
Check out the big brain on Brad.
That's it. There he is, Brad Feinberg, NBC Sports betting analyst. Brad, what's happening, brother?
How are you, my friend? Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours, man. And I know the people can't wait. They got their pens out, pencils, and their notes, and their phone is up, and they're ready to take notes. Without right, further brother, ado, what you got, baby?
All right, first, we're going to do our first college game. Alabama against Georgia. Now, interesting, this game opened at 6. Nick Saban's COVID lowered this all the way down to 3.5. Now I think it's back up to 4.5. But I still like Alabama here. I don't think this should really be much of a downgrade in the sense that I'm sure Nick Saban's game plan is still installed. I'm sure Nick Saban's been with the team the entire time. And I just believe that Alabama's offense is so good.
Yeah, I do too.
Mac Jones completing 80% of his passes. Great running back in Najee Harris. Jalen Waddle, in my opinion, the best receiver in college football. I mean, it's just a loaded offense. Now, granted, Georgia has a really good defense, for sure. But when I look at Georgia, again, this team really struggles to run the ball. Only 3.9 yards per carry for their leading rushers, Amir White. Stetson Bennett really hasn't crazily impressed me. And Alabama, after facing a really good Ole Miss offense, I think they're going to feel like, wow, this is looks pretty easy against a non-dominant
Georgia. I love it. I love that pick.
I like Bama there.
All right. Bama. Next. Bullish on Bama, Bama, Bama. Bama. Number one. Bama. Number two.
Next, going to go pros right now. We're going to go with the Minnesota Vikings laying 4 against Atlanta. Anthony, I do not think that Atlanta is going to get a bounce by firing head coach Dan Quinn. I think this team is kind of dead money. I think we're looking at a 3-13 kind of year from them. And if Julio Jones does not play, I really like this one. Minnesota, on the other hand, I think is an average team, okay? And they look very good the last couple weeks against both Seattle and Houston. Against the 31st-ranked pass defense, I expect Kirk Cousins to have really good success with both Jefferson and Thielen being the two of the best receivers. And even without Dalvin Cook, Madison's an elite backup and would be a better starter and running back than half the running backs in the league.
All right,
I made this line closer to 7, so I like Minnesota laying 4.
All right, Bama Vikes, number 3?
Next, I'm going to do a two-game teaser. I'm going to tease Indianapolis down from 8 to 2. Okay, and I'm going to tease the Baltimore Ravens down from 7.5 to 1.5.
Boom.
You have to win both games in the teaser, but I feel pretty comfortable both those teams are going to win the game. Not as comfortable
right, we'll
as
move on
the
from
game,
that
but
one.
We'll move on from that. We'll move on from that one.
Number 4.
But I do like that in a two-game teaser.
I hear you. Makes sense.
We're going to go Carolina Panthers -1 against the Chicago Bears.
And they need to send
close to 3. Yeah, I made this line closer to 3. Now, even without Christian McCaffrey, this has been a really impressive Carolina team. Coach Rule has done a great job. And the Bears, to me, while they are 4-1, I don't think I've seen a more fake 4-1 team in my lifetime. I think Carolina's the better team here. I think they're the better team. Getting Robbie Anderson has really changed that team. The one thing they're not great about is stopping the run. David Montgomery's okay. So I at least think from that aspect they're not facing a dominant running back.
Again, right, we've got 2 minutes, my brother.
Three.
So Carolina,
okay, next three.
Give me him.
Next, I'm going to give you 3 props. Kenny Golladay, over 65.5 yards. He averaged 75 yards a game last year. Now, he's only played 2 games this year, and he's averaging about 60, but he's going against the 30th best pass defense in the league in Jacksonville. Marvin Jones has done nothing all year. I think Golladay's over-under should have been mid-70s in this. So I think over 65.5 would be light, Anthony.
Love it.
Next, I'll give you last 2 props, and I'll let you run. Green Bay's playing Tampa Bay. Robert Tonyan, we all remember him from Monday night with those big 3 touchdowns. But I think against Atlanta, I'm saying shenanigans on that. He's only had 2 games in his career where he's had over 43.5 receiving yards. I'm going to dare him to do it against what I consider to be a top 3 defense in Tampa Bay. I think 43.5 is way too high, getting way too much respect as Davante Adams didn't play that last game. I like under 43.5 for Robert Tonyan. And my best play on the card, I would say this is my favorite play, Aaron Jones, under 68.5 rushing yards. Tampa Bay, Anthony, allowing 2.7 yards per carry, far and away the best in the NFL. 2.7. And interestingly enough, Aaron Jones has only played 154 snaps. Jamal Williams has gotten 117. So I think getting 68.5, that translates to about 1,100 a yard, your rusher. Against this Tampa Bay defense, I will be stunned. I think I'll have to pull off a Miles Sanders and get one of those 60-yard kind of runs for this to have any chance of happening. I really like under there.
I love it. Those are the seven picks. Bama, the Vikings, a teaser, Indianapolis, Baltimore, Carolina, Kenny Galladay over 65 and a half yards. We got Aaron Jones under 61 and a half yards. Condon 68 and Condon under 43 and a half.
Check out the big brain on
Great
Brad.
Stuff, Bradley. Brad Feinberg, the NBC sports betting analyst for his weekly seven selections for you guys. Now let's talk about Parx Casino. Brad's always there at Parx Casino, sussing out all of the props. And you can too. And this weekend, all customers get a 25% profit boost to use on the Birds game as they host Baltimore. That's right. All customers get a 25% profit boost to use on the Birds game. No promo code necessary. Odds boost offer open to all customers, both current and new. Download the app or go to Parx Casino, PA.ParxCasino.com. That's Parx Casino. Bet with the best home team. Got to be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What up?
Yeah, 1:30. So I got to share this with you guys. So the chewiness. Now I don't know. Like we have our plan. We got Brad coming up. We're doing all of our speeches, and we got our own picks, and we got the callers, and we're doing the whole thing like we always do. And Andrew's in my ear, and he goes, "You hear music?" And I go, no, I don't hear anything, right? They're talking to callers. I was talking to somebody, and I forget who it was.
It was Frank.
It was Frank.
Westchester, yeah.
Frankie, right. Frankie was having a blast, and he's talking about young boy, and you're not answering because you hear Led Zeppelin.
Yes.
You're hearing Stairway to Heaven.
No, it was actually rock and roll. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I know this song. And I'm like, where's that coming from? Now, on the board, I can play things or we can have things up. So, like, the audio that Natalie plays during her updates, that's always on.
Right.
So, let's just say she has YouTube open and then it just starts playing on its own. It would go on to the air, but it wasn't that because I turned it off. But, Ant, it wasn't, like, this volume. It was this volume.
Oh, my God.
So, I couldn't hear a thing you were saying. So, that's why I'm like, dude. Do you hear music? I thought, you know, sometimes yeah. the phone, maybe like right, a video right. starts playing, it's going through your...
Yeah.
Here I am trying to figure it out. I'm looking at the board as if something's going on. We cross streams with MMR somehow. But well, it didn't go on the
MMR's
air.
MMR's our sister station.
Yeah, but it didn't go on the air. It was just in the studio.
That's weird.
So I call, you know, Mr. Engineer. They think they're the smartest men in the room, and they always have an answer, but they didn't. Oh, you must have pushed the wrong button. No, dude, I've been here for 6 years. I didn't accidentally push the wrong button. I'm trying to figure out how to fix this damn thing, but, you know, talk about Howie's smartest man in the room syndrome. Same thing down the hall. I'm like, how about you just help me out here? I'm at a Zeppelin concert. My ears are ringing, man. I'm like, all right. Cuz Ray at the Chunas and Zeppelin.
That's great.
So, my apologies to Frank in Westchester missing his call.
That's funny.
Sorry it wasn't good enough.
No, but that's going to freak you out. No, because you don't know if it's going on the air or not.
No. Exactly. So it's funny because 2 weeks ago, Natalie was driving in. And for about 3 seconds, another one of our sister stations actually popped up over you. Like another random song started playing. But that one, it was 3 seconds. You know, that happens, right? Like... You tell the story when you were in Chicago. Couldn't you hear a news station?
KYW.
Yeah,
yes.
You were able to hear that from Chicago.
Yeah, late at night, there's no signal from, I forget how it works because it's such a strong signal.
Yeah.
That it traveled west. And I actually could get it in Chicago on the AM radio, 1060.
Right.
And I used to listen to it because I used to get homesick.
Homesick,
I didn't go to
right.
college. I went to Temple, so... And I lived at home. So, when I was in Chicago, it was the first time I was away from home.
So, stuff happens. Weird things happen. Right. So, you know, one of our sister stations popped on for like 3 seconds. But that was it.
Yeah.
But it was only in this studio where I was at a Zeppelin concert.
That's great.
Blaring.
All right, let's get back to the phones. Andrew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew?
Anthony, this is Israel from Upton Park.
Hey, Iz. How you doing? I don't know why it says Andrew. What do you say, Izzy? How you doing, brother?
Listen, the last time I called, I told you that the Eagles were going to beat the 49ers. You said, you know what? If that happens...
You did! You called it outright, Israel!
But guess what?
Hey, you got...
We're going to beat the Baltimore Ravens!
Oh, my God.
That's right. You heard it here first. And guess what? Lamar's going to throw an interception to our slot corner.
Well, Maddox. I'll tell you what, Israel. You have won a Primo's gift card, all right? It's a what is it, Jonas?
Oh, we got a whole party tray.
It's a party tray. You won the party tray, Izzy, all right?
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm hyped about these Eagles. Wentz is going to have one of his better games, and we're going to beat the Baltimore Ravens. And guess what? We're going to be on a winning streak because we're going to beat the Giants, too.
I hope, man. I hope you are one for one in shocking the world games. That game, the Eagles were 9.5-point underdogs.
Don't worry about it. The Ravens going down tonight. Lamar's he's regressing a little bit. The book is out on him. Tennessee put the book out. And you know NFL's a copycat league. The book is out. We're beating the Ravens. We're beating the Giants.
Well, Izzy, I love you, man. Bye. I need you to hold on right now and collect your Primo. It's not just a hoagie, it's a Primo. Get your Primo party tray for the game Sunday.
Party at Israel's house.
Primo.com. Yes,
I might go over at Elkins Park.
That's impressive. Izzy called it. They called the Niners game. That's another one, Pete. Take that up, you geeky Pete. They just beat the Niners as a 9.5-point underdog. It's not implausible. Do I think they're going to beat the Ravens? No. Do I think the book is out on Lamar Jackson? No. I don't even want to say it. I cringe when Izzy said it. But Izzy called the Eagles outright. I remember the call.
Now, let me ask you something. Do you think Pete knew that the Eagles were going to tie the Bengals?
No. But I did.
Yes, you did.
I called it, man.
I'm proud of you.
Nikki, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic, Nikki.
What's up, gentlemen?
Nikki.
Andrios, get my Maximus Decimus Meridus ready for after the call.
Oh, yes.
Listen, speaking of the book being out, I don't know if the book is out, but you're talking about blitzing Lamar, but Cincinnati actually, it was 10-0 for the longest time, and then Joey B throws an INT, and two plays later, it's 17-0. And then the whole second half, it was 20-0. And then a Joey B pass gets fumbled, and it's a rumble six back to the end zone to make it 27-0. So since he played them tight, and I heard somebody say on the morning show a couple days ago, an analyst said that since he just sat in their 4-3 base defense and brought the safeties up the middle and just literally flooded the middle of the field and forced Lamar to throw it outside, and he struggled most of the game. Even though the score was 27-3, I think the final was, they said, you know, watching the game, it was a lot less 27-3. It was, you know, it was more like 17-3 most of the game.
You know what? And I just get my information from the defensive coordinator from the Chiefs.
Right.
Who's
a genius.
No, who said to the... This is the way that you got to take. Now, again, I think there's a mix. You're not going to play every. You're not going to go main zero every play.
No.
You got three safeties. So you're going to have to play a mix of that. And I think you're going to have, but you're going to have to pressure. I don't think about just sitting back. I don't think that works.
All right. Well, look, I know he doesn't like playing from behind, but the truth is, I mean, the only couple teams that hadn't forced him to play from behind was Tennessee and KC, so it's not, you know, aren't that many other teams that are forcing him to play from behind. But look, Friday five, can I get Tatum and my first round draft pick back? Can I get that?
No, you cannot, what? My brother.
What do you mean? No,
it's only now.
Oh, you okay? Well, that was my past. That was my past because you guys told him past.
I know, but future? I want you. You're the Lord of 4 for 4 right now.
Yeah.
So you can't erase anything.
Yeah, you're not gonna like my answer on Football Friday.
Uh-oh, what are you gonna do?
I'll take Trev next year with you know, I'll give up a little
You're going to go back for sunshine?
I go North Dakota and, you know, the contract man.
Yeah. The only problem is sunshine is going to the Jets.
Wait, you just made me Lord GM.
Well, yeah, but it's got to be reasonable. It's got to be something that can happen.
I'll just pass on that. Andrew, on my signal, unleash hell. Eagles outright and under, plus 600 in the parts.
Oh, my
outright
God.
Outright under.
Wow. Nikki, going Peace. Outright. You're the man, brother. Look at this. Nikki on an outright piece.
My name is Gladiator.
How dare you show your back to me? Slave! Will you remove your helmet and tell me your name?
Slave!
What up?
Slave! Hurry up, slave!
Hello.
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius. Commander of the armies of the North. General of the Felix Legions. Loyal servant to the true Emperor, Marcus Aurelius. Father to a murdered son. Husband to a murdered wife. And I will have my vengeance. In this life or the next.
Chills, Tunis. That's the other one. That's a great scene, but he was talking about the other one. At my command, unleash hell. Although that's a great scene as well. And all the great, it really is. And vengeance is a great word. I will have my vengeance in this life or the next is a great word. But Nikki wanted the unleash hell. And while you get that, I got to give you the name. I've been holding his name for the Phillies GM all show. So I'm going to let you know who it is. His name is Jeff Kingston. All right? He's a local guy. Right now, he's the assistant general manager with the Dodgers, working directly under Andrew Friedman. He's been with the Dodgers a year. He was with San Diego, and he's with Seattle before the Dodgers. Before that, he broke in with the Padres under Theo Epstein. And he's from Morristown, New Jersey. He's a South Jersey kid. Jeff Kingston, 44 years old. He's a loves the blend. The eye test and the analytics. That is my choice for Philly's general manager, Jeff Kingston. Bring the South Jersey kid back home and let him run the franchise. You like that, Tunis?
Sounds good to me. Anyone that's associated with the Dodgers or Rays or Yankees, bring him on in.
Well, all right, the hometown thing's great. That's a bonus. But he worked on the Theo Epstein. You know, he's my man. My man is sharp. Let's go to Ryan in media. Ryan,
Durant.
What's up, Ryan?
Hey, it's been a minute. How you been?
What's going on, brother?
Yeah, just working and everything. My choice for Philly's GM is just someone throwing darts at a board with names on it because it can't be any worse. But
Jeff Kingston, you're on board with that guy?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on board with anyone who's not named Matt Klintak or Matt Klintak's understudy. So,
listen,
you know.
the guy comes from the Dodgers, right? He's been with the Dodgers this past year, working under Andrew Friedman.
Yeah, I'm excited for anyone right. At this point. Yeah. So. But as far as the Eagles game, hopefully we can get someone on the broadcast a little more competent than Jonathan Vilma. Not to rip on him, but man, that was rough.
Yeah, it was rough. Vilma stinks. Yeah,
and so the Eagles game this week. I want to run something by you, and I know the reason he hasn't played is because they say he hasn't played a lot of football, and he's going to be behind on the scheme and the coverages. But is this a game where maybe you unleash Davion Taylor as just like a Lamar Jackson spy.
Dude, I mean, you're going to rock a kid who's
You give him a real simple assignment. You give him a Lamar Jackson spy.
It's
not
a simple assignment.
Well, it's not a simple, but it's athletically, I think he can do it. It's not.
You got to be able to read plays. You got to be able to read what's going on. You're going to trust the green. Listen, I hear you, what you're saying, Snake, and the whole thing.
Yeah.
But, you talk about Lamar.
I don't think he can get worse.
Well, Lamar only rushed for 3 yards last week. Carries for 3 yards. And here's the thing. See, I think he goes. I think you see a lot more him running this week.
And I think so too.
You got to protect the edges.
Yeah, I think the DNs need to be disciplined. I mean, that's one of the things that, and unfortunately, with the Eagles giving up so many end arounds and so many reverses and all that stuff, the ends really have not been disciplined this season, and they're going to need to be in this game. So we're going to need a lot to go right, and I don't know if Jim Schwartz is going to blitz or not. But we're going to need a lot of stuff to buck the trends to win this game. So,
yeah,
that's all I can say.
I feel you, brother. But listen, go into it with high hopes, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I always do. I always look forward to it, see if they keep it competitive and if they can, if they can pull one out. You know what I mean?
I like you, brother. Thank you, Ryan. See you, buddy. Ryan said a little down. You got that Eagles thing for him? Do you have the Brian Dawkins piece?
What you gonna bring to the table tonight?
Look at the white shirts on the line of scrimmage. And they're coming after Testaverde. He can't get it away, and down he goes.
Of course he could. That was a 9-man blitz.
It ain't no doggone tomorrow, fellas. We gonna score today, or we gonna score out.
Fires it his way. There's Evans at the 45. Inside the 20. And on the first play at Philadelphia in an Eagle uniform, Terrell Owens takes it 81 yards right on the jersey number.
Are you going to put somebody in their mouth?
Third is short. Terrell under pressure. He is buried. Josh Sweat. Third and 8. Here they come again as the Eagles defense pinning their ears back. Derek Barnett. On second and goal, Hockey collapses. Wentz trying to buy some time. He's going to tuck it away. Run for it. Lunges end zone for the touchdown. What a run by Wentz.
Wentz is going to air it out deep downfield. And it will be caught. And into the end zone goes Fulgham for a touchdown. Travis Fulgham down the sideline for 42 yards.
The time has come.
Yes! That was awesome. Nikki, South Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nikki.
Yo, what's up? What's up?
What's going on, brother?
What's up? The security guard is here.
Big Nick, what's going on, baby?
That's right, the security guard is here. What's up, Ant? How you doing today?
I'm doing great, brother.
What's up, little bro? What's going on?
What's up, big bro?
All right. Hey, yo, I wanted to call you. I'll let you know. You know the thing you just did with Maximus?
That's
my son was named after. I named him after him.
No way.
His middle name is Maximus, yep.
You got a Maximus?
And then he goes, listen, it's crazy about it. My wife just got him his costume, his gladiator costume.
That's awesome!
Yeah, and his name is Maximus.
I
love that movie. I love that movie so much that I named my son, his middle name is Maximus.
I love it, brother.
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius.
The other day, you played the sirens. I was going to call in, but I had to go into work. When you play them sirens, I'm going to call in.
You got it, Big Nick. You got it, buddy.
The guard. That's my thing. But no,
that's you, brother. That's you. You're the best.
Yo, listen. Last week, they was laughing at me because I spoke Eagles wrong. All my friends, I heard you say Eagles wrong. But it ain't like that. I'm going to give it to you today. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles, baby.
Don't worry about it. I don't care what people say. The hell with those people. You're the man, Big Mick. All right, I got 5 seconds from the Fighting Barrow of Bristol. The one, the only, Coach Al.
All right, shout out. Bristol Township Fire Department. Fire Marshal.
Get to it. We got to go. Have a great weekend, everybody. Be careful. Go Birds.